For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Who knew what and when about Mark Foley's scandalous emails? That's been the big question on Capitol Hill today. Live to Washington, CBS's Howard Arenstein.
Foley's former chief of staff, Kirk Fordham, spent nearly 5 hours inside the House Ethics Committee hearing room. Afterward, he said nothing to reporters, leaving his attorney, Tim Hafey, to make a brief statement.
All I can say is that Mr. Fordham has been completely forthcoming and again intends to continue to cooperate.
Fordham apparently testified that he informed Republican leaders 3 or 4 years ago that Foley was having inappropriate exchanges with male pages. That puts him at odds with House Speaker Dennis Hastert. The committee is investigating whether there was a cover-up. I'm Howard Arenstein, live in Washington. More now from White House correspondent Peter Mayer with the president in Chicago.
Well, the president's here to help Illinois Republican congressional candidates who are in tight races, but the real spotlight is on his appearance with embattled House Speaker Hastert. It's the first time they've appeared together since the details of the Mark Foley House page scandal emerged. Now, Republican leaders hope this public political blessing will help cool GOP calls for Hastert to resign over complaints about a slow response to the accusations. The president concedes what he describes as this Foley issue bothers a lot of people. Live in Chicago, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
Scientists in California have found the field where spinach was tainted by E. coli.
We do not have a smoking cow at this point, no.
California Health Services' Kevin Riley.
We're really trying to determine potential vehicles by which that contamination, the E. coli strain type, could have ended up on the spinach fields themselves.
Cow manure is and is likely to continue to be a highly favored fertilizer, but experts do say fresher is better. The NTSB's latest briefing on the Corey Lytle crash in New York City.
We do not know who the pilot in command of this flight was at the time. We don't know which seats these two pilots were sitting in. All of that has yet to be determined.
The NTSB's Debbie Hirschman. We do know Corey Lytle, or whoever was flying, failed to complete the turn and lost a lot of altitude trying. The other dancer in the Duke lacrosse rape case refutes the supposed victim's story.
Did she at any point that night say anything about being in pain or having been hurt in any way?
Mm-mm. She obviously wasn't hurt, or because, you know, she was fine.
Kim Roberts' full story, Sunday on 60 Minutes with Ed Bradley. Canadian troops in Afghanistan say Taliban terrorists have been hiding in tall forests of marijuana, which absorbs heat and energy very well, making them hard to find with spotter scopes. Even worse, when U.S. forces tried to set fire to the huge plants, they only smoked. And troops downwind got a buzz. On Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 95 points, NASDAQ up about 38, and oil prices $57.86 a barrel, up 27 cents today. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33- Go win. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
A 9-year-old boy was allegedly kept prisoner in his bedroom for 3 years in Jacksonville. What would that do to a child?
Police say the boy's father locked him up and watched his every move on TV or computer screens.
The child has never attended school, has no friends, and does not receive medical attention.
The father's been jailed, and University of Florida child psychologist Dr. Eric Storch says the boy has a long road ahead.
When you have multiple negative experiences, you need that many more experiences that will counteract that, that will minimize it.
Says there's no telling how long it could take him to overcome 3 years of abuse, but with repeated reassurance and reinforcement, he says he's got a fighting chance. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In Rockford, Illinois, 750 middle school students were told to evacuate the school barefoot. They had to leave their shoes behind because an old wall thermometer leaked, which might have dropped a dollop of mercury on the floor. Officials will test everyone's shoes and return them, provided there's no mercury on them. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage-stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're launching another edition of the radio program nobody asked for. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. Yeah, I found the Bachman Turner Overdrive Greatest Hits in the $3 bin, and I'm passing the savings along to you. We've got only 3 hours to discuss the most important issues confronting America today. We're going to do our best. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Bill Goodman will return to our show. He is the legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights, and they are leading the charge to challenge what I call the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. He'll be on with us about half an hour. They also won a big award we'll talk about. Next hour, Scott Dick is our expert on military and veterans affairs. He served in the Marines, retired from the Army as a major, and he helps me with a lot of those acronyms that I don't understand and also the thinking of military leaders. He's going to join us for the full hour. Then in the Free Speed Zone, we take your calls on anything that you want to talk about. That's how it works here at the Peter B. Collins Show. I have lines available throughout the program, and we pay for the toll-free call. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. And you can always email me 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. Humble host at peterbcollins.com. And if you're not agreeing with me, try bigmouth@peterbcollins.com. It's either big mouth or loud mouth. I can never quite remember. Faz Shakir is our dispenser of factoids. He is the co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which emanates from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And like me, you can get it free delivered into your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How are you doing this week?
Pretty good. Things are going not too badly. We added a new live radio station in Phoenix, Arizona this week, and we're getting in touch with a lot of great people in Arizona, which is gratifying. And you're right there at the epicenter of the Foley Gate storm. Has it received full gate status? Do the headlines in the Washington Post refer to it that way yet?
Yeah, I've heard a number of different gates, including Foley Gate. One of the most I think humorous ones that I heard was tailgate.
Uh-huh. Well, I just got an email from a pal of mine who wrote a commentary, and he said that he is enjoying watching the Republicans defoliate. So it is a name that can be maneuvered into a lot of different terms.
And this is a scandal that keeps on building. Now, yesterday, Faz, we heard a hot rumor from our pals at Mother Jones that an unusual source, a pastor who has counseled world leaders like Saddam Hussein, Liberia's Charles Taylor, and also Haiti's Jean-Bertrand Aristide, the Reverend K.A. Paul, prayed with Dennis Hastert on Tuesday morning. And on Tuesday night, he confided in a Mother Jones reporter that he had persuaded, during this prayer meeting, he'd persuaded the speaker to resign his post. Now, we don't know the timing of this, but have you heard anything further about Dennis Hastert and his future as Speaker of the House?
Yeah, actually, we reported on this same story on Think Progress today, thinkprogress.org, and this gentleman, K.A. Paul, was on MSNBC, and we have the video of his appearance. And on that appearance, he said that Hastert, quote, promised me in 1 week he will be stepping down. So we're not sure what to make of that, but we now have K.A. Paul on the record as saying mm-hmm. that Hastert promised him that he would be stepping down in a week. And, you know, we don't really think that actually is going to happen, but it's interesting that that's what he thinks he was told.
Well, you think we ought to start a betting line?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, who do you believe, K.A. Paul, Dennis Hastert, or, you know...
Hey, Matt, call Vegas. See what the line is on Hastert today. We'll see what we can find out there. Well, it is interesting, and the Ethics Committee held a meeting earlier today to take testimony from Kirk Fordham, a former staffer there on the Hill. And it is amazing how quickly this Ethics Committee has bounded into action after appearing to be in mothballs for the last 4 years.
That's right. Kirk Fordham is a very key player in all of this because from earlier reports, we learned that he, who was a former chief of staff to Mark Foley, and then he became a chief of staff to Tom Reynolds, the head of the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, he said that in 2003, he had a number of conversations with senior staff of Dennis Hastert, Speaker Dennis Hastert, about Mark Foley's behavior, and he warned them about these emails. He warned them about Mark Foley's conduct, and we know that Hastert's staff did nothing. And so he testified today for 4 hours before the special panel that they've set up, this House Ethics panel. And so he'll be a very key linchpin. And in the end, I think it's going to be, who do you believe more, Kirk Fordham's story or Dennis Hastert's story?
Mm-hmm. And one of the subtexts I see going on here, Faz, is an effort, well, there are actually two of them. One is to try to conflate the events to suggest the Democrats were intimately involved in the timing and the timing of the release of the information and the collection of it originally, neither of which seems to be the case. But even the president in his Rose Garden news conference yesterday said, well, you know, we want to see what Republicans did, and we want to see what Democrats did. And I find that very interesting as they're trying to make it seem like, well, gosh, you know, Democrats had an interest in covering this up, but I can't find a motive for that.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's no... They're just trying to shift the attention away from Foley's actual conduct. And when you look at his conduct, it's egregious, and you realize that a lot of people knew about it and just didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever Democrats knew about this, and I don't know if it's actually been proven that there were actually Democrats involved here, but if they did, and if they were responsible for bringing this to light, I think it's a justice for having brought Foley down, because this clearly was going on for too long and needed to be brought down whatever manner it had to be brought down. The other thing I'd say is you mentioned that this is a subtext going on. There's another subtext going on, which is this kind of gay bashing I sense.
That was my next point. Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
No,
well,
I mean, this is a man who engaged in predatory behavior, and the fact that his orientation was homosexual does not change the predatory nature of it. But I think there are a lot of people who want to believe that every gay person in America has the same tendencies as Mark Foley, and that's flatly false.
That's right. I mean, I can't say it any better than you just said it. And you know, they point to the fact that I guess this gentleman who testified today, Kirk Fordham, is gay, and there are rumors that Dennis Hastert, chief of staff, is gay as well. And so they feel like the right is claiming that this was this one big gay conspiracy of trying to hold back damaging information because they all, to some extent, sympathize with it. But what you see from many outspoken gay advocates is that they're distancing themselves from Foley and saying that this is not our type of behavior, nor do we want to be branded as being Foley defenders. We're not. Mm-hmm. We don't defend this sort of conduct at all. And you're exactly right that this type of behavior would be condemned regardless of if it was a heterosexual incident or a homosexual incident.
Yeah. And Colby of Arizona, he is the only out gay Republican, and he is retiring at the end of this term. He seems to have offered conflicting testimony, not testimony yet, but information, that he confronted Mark Foley about his bad behavior in the year 2000, fully 6 years ago. And that kind of underscores this argument of, a gay group or a gay network on the Hill that protected one another.
Right, yeah, I don't understand why they're making it. Yeah, I understand that some of these characters involved, but to me it just sounds like a conservative cover-up. Everybody who knew about this was conservative, was Republican, and they were all covering for each other because they all seemed to have understood the political ramifications that would occur if this information were to be leaked out. So this instance with Colby that you're talking about, he was informed from a former page who experienced Foley's improper conduct. He was informed because at the time he sat on the page board. And so he learned of Foley's improper behavior, and he says that he just passed along the information, that he, quote, never personally confronted Foley. That's his story.
Okay.
So he's shifting around. We're not sure exactly what happened there.
Yeah, because I had heard one account that he actually directly spoke to Foley, pardon me, about it.
Yeah, that's right. I think the Los Angeles Times first came out with that story, and when they did, they said that something along the lines that he had personally confronted him, and then he had been out of the country at the time. Then he returned to the country, and he gave a statement to the Arizona Republic saying that, no, I never personally confronted him. I just passed along the information to his office, and he thought that the incident had just gone away.
That's Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. We'll pick up as we continue. Got a couple of callers on the line, so we'll talk to you next. The number is 888-5. Peter B., 888-573-8372. And you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse.
The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Jim Ross of National Real Estate Holdings is back as our special guest on Rock Rolling Real Estate this Sunday at 10 a.m. Jim has got special offers just for Rock Rolling Real Estate listeners. He has D.R. Horton Homes giving him a 2% discount on a purchase and a 2% discount towards closing costs to any deal in Austin, Houston, and Fort Worth, Texas that he's involved in. Call him at 866-383-9977. He also has a great deal in Palm Springs, but you have to listen this week to Rock Rolling Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 21 minutes past the hour. We're live from the Left Coast. We continue debriefing Faz Shakir. He is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. As we mentioned, you can get your very own copy free in your email. Just log on and sign up at progressreport.org. And Faz, moving on from the Foley Gate issue, or whatever we're going to call it in retrospect, you posted an item at Think Progress just a little while ago based on some advance information about the Baker Commission. Now, President Bush at the news conference yesterday responded to a question from a reporter who raised the issue of this Baker Commission report and also recent statements by Senator John Warner, a rock-ribbed Republican, a diehard supporter of the Pentagon, and a guy who just came back from Iraq and said, whoa, we've got to change course. And Bush spun his answer by saying that he hadn't seen the Baker report, but that he agreed with Senator Warner that we got to be flexible. And I love the way he overpronounces certain words and syllables. At any rate, that's not what Warner said, but that's what the president said he agreed with. Tell us what you've learned about this forthcoming report from James A. Baker III and a handpicked commission.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's kind of shocking, actually. The James Baker Commission has circulated a document internally, which was leaked to the New York Sun, which says that they are now ruling out victory in Iraq. And when they say victory in Iraq, they mean a stable democracy over the short term. They are now ruling that out, and they're considering only two options for the future of Iraq. One is a stability first plan, and the second is a redeploy and contain plan. Both of them are what President Bush, I think, would consider, quote, cut and run. So it's interesting now that President Bush's own commission here, a bipartisan commission, 10 members, headed by Bush family friend James Baker, is now suggesting that they should cut and run from Iraq. And of course, the commission won't report this until after the election. So we need to get Bush on the record about whether he will actually follow the recommendations of that commission when it comes out.
Well, and isn't it beautiful that they've said the reason it won't be released till after the election is they don't want it to get all caught up in politics? And they have politicized the issues of the war. And let's just go back to the vote in the Senate in the spring of this year, when there were two competing resolutions, one from John Kerry, who'd had a change of heart finally, and who was calling for an explicit date to get out of Iraq, and then a broader resolution that even Hillary Clinton supported, that said we need to come up with a new strategy and we ought to ultimately get out of there, but it didn't set a date certain. And in that debate, Democrats were labeled as cut and run, as unpatriotic. And now we're seeing groups much more closely aligned with the president, and that includes Lee Hamilton and some of the other nominal Democrats who served on this commission. And they're going to give him a message he doesn't want to hear.
Yeah, and I'd go even further back than that, Peter. Back in September of 2005, the Center for American Progress, where I work, released a plan, an Iraq strategy. It was called Strategic Redeployment. It called for a two-year drawdown from Iraq.
Yeah, Larry Korb and Brian Katulis.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They wrote the plan. We released it September 2005. Then everyone obviously criticizes. Then Murtha comes out around December of 2005. He, of course, gets slammed by the Bush administration, by Vice President Cheney attacking him personally. And then you go forward a few months, and then we go into the events that you talked about in the Senate, and Democrats are just getting plastered because they support a redeployment strategy. And here we are, you know, about a year and a half later, and we're now talking about the very plan that was proposed, you know, a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is very hot stuff. It's coming from a dangerous left-leaning source, the New York Sun. It's even more to the right than the Mooney paper, the Washington Times, isn't it?
Yeah, I think its role is just to leak stuff from conservatives around the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you can read this item at thinkprogress.org, and I'm sure Faz will update it as the news develops. Now, let's take an item from today's Progress Report, Faz, and this is in response to the president's claim yesterday that the Foley scandal is going to be gone by Election Day, 3.5 weeks from now, and that voters are going to vote on the economy and on security. And then he said that the tax cuts are working. And that's why the deficit has declined, and it is a fact that the deficit is sharply lower than projected. That said, he's claiming the reason is that the tax cuts are working.
Well, they're working to some extent. That's because corporations are paying more in taxes because they've been getting so much in return. And so that's helping ease our deficit. You know, productivity is also high, but the only ones experiencing the benefits of this so-called boom are those who are the richest in our society right now. I thought the most interesting and insightful thing I heard during the 2003-2004 campaign was that came from John Edwards when he talked about two Americas. And two Americas has been borne out even more so since 2004. We have two societies, two economic systems, one that's benefiting the very rich, Bush's base, and the rest of us who are stagnating and living in an economy that isn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also is spinning because he said that he has cut the federal budget deficit in half since 2004.
Yeah, that's just a complete falsehood because, first of all, they take the wrong number. He wants to use a number that's a projected estimate of $512 billion. That never materialized, and it was instead around $413 billion that year. And so we now have a deficit of around $248 billion, which he applauds as, you know, a great feat. And when you look back at, you know, what he was handed over by the Clinton administration, we're talking about surpluses as far as the eye could see. So for him to now be, you know, parading around a $248 billion deficit number is just ludicrous. That's not an accomplishment of any sort.
Mm-hmm. Jim joins us from Tempe, Arizona. Hello, Jim. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Faz Shakir.
Hi, Peter. This is really exciting. I got just a kind of a comment first. It appears that the Foley thing seems to be more of a kind of a diversion,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of covering up this kind of sneaky writ of habeas corpus thing that just kind of came into play here. I don't know if that'd be something that you sort of observe, but that's sort of something that...
Well, I will say we're going to talk about the habeas corpus issue in our next segment, and I'm very disappointed that it's been pushed out of the news coverage, but the media moved on as soon as the Senate voted, and, of course, the Foleygate thing came right in their laps. So I don't see a collusion or any kind of conspiracy there. I think it just happened that way.
Okay.
And in terms of an October surprise, I think the Democrats are even more surprised than the Republicans.
Oh, really? Oh, that's pretty interesting. Okay. You know, and as far as, you know, again, I'm kind of getting a little off track here, but the...
Well, then I'm going to stop you there, Jim, just because I only have 10 seconds and I'd have to cut you off in the middle of a thought. Thanks a lot for your call today, Faz. As always, thank you for your expertise.
Thanks, Peter.
All right. We'll talk next week. Coming up next, Bill Goodman joins us, legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights. We're going to talk habeas and corpus right here.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, Saturdays 4 to 5 p.m. We're speaking on subjects not often talked about, like fear around money, relationships, or children, how we judge people, aging, happiness, and with our Central Coast's most colorful people, and of course, you. Call in or just listen. Reality Radio, Saturday afternoons 4 to 5 with me, Sheila Gale, on KRXA, sponsored by Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick Photographic in Monterey.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. We're going to talk about the rights of detainees.
The world watched in horror. Two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center. We better believe it. We better deal with it. It's time to keep peace at hand.
Joining us this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show is the legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, Bill Goodman. Bill, welcome back to our program.
It's a pleasure to be back, Peter.
And a little music from Yoko Ono to honor CCR, the Center for Constitutional Rights, was the recipient this year of the Lennon Ono Grant for Peace.
Yes, and we're very proud of that fact, delighted that we were selected.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly who awards it. I guess Yoko Ono has a role in it.
Yes, she was there.
And did they explicitly cite your work on behalf of the detainees?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That was a major part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. We're very pleased.
And I guess it's a $50,000 award, and I can imagine that's already spent.
Well, let's put it this way. It's in the bank. We're working at spending it.
Well, I asked you on the program today because I would like to keep attention on one of the worst pieces of legislation to come out of Washington in my lifetime. And, Bill, I've renamed it the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
Hey, all you need is the word honorary in there, and you're just about right.
Yeah. And I am pleased that despite the fact that the Congress has now essentially retroactively approved the misdeeds of the Bush administration and put much of these activities, past and future, out of the reach of our court system, you at CCR have filed a series of challenges under the habeas corpus laws that existed prior to the passage of this bill. Now, it hasn't been signed into law yet. Is that
17th,
one of,
I think.
Is that one of the reasons why you have moved so quickly?
Yes, it's possible we may be able to argue that that the new legislation is not retroactive, that is, did not apply to cases that were pending before the president signed the bill. I think it's a hard argument to make. But in order to protect our clients and preserve their rights to be able to make that argument, we have filed a number of cases at the last moment here,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
And I'm just looking at the list here. October 2nd, you filed a legal challenge to this new Military Commissions Act on behalf of 25 detainees held at Bagram in Afghanistan. Then on the 3rd of October, you had a ruling by Judge John Gleason in favor of your request for discovery. And that's in the Turkmen versus Ashcroft case. I guess that's not specifically related to the new law.
No, but it's the ruling by Judge. It's not at all related to the new law, but the ruling by Judge Gleason was very welcome, and he required the government to disclose whether or not they have listened in on any of our telephone calls or emails with our clients overseas, and in that particular case, and therefore it's a very welcome and refreshing ruling by Judge Gleason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you filed a habeas petition on the 3rd of October on behalf of Majid Khan.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a man from Baltimore who has been tortured and held in a secret CIA prison.
Somewhere, yes. The man from Baltimore, indeed.
Now, is he one of the individuals that Bush claims was transferred to Guantanamo in September?
On September 6th, Bush announced that he was transferring 14 people to Guantanamo Bay, and our client Majid Khan was one of those, yes.
Mm-hmm. And do we know if that transfer actually took place? I would imagine the president didn't lie about that, but gosh, my skepticism just will not relax.
Well, we don't. I mean, I certainly anticipate or expect that these people were moved to Guantanamo. However, there's no way to verify that at the present moment because we have not, while we filed the habeas, we haven't had a response to it. We have not had a disclosure from the government. And we certainly have not yet had access to go and see our client, even though we have asked for it and asked for it on an expedited basis.
Mm-hmm. And similarly, of the 14, we understand that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is one of the individuals who was pulled out of an undisclosed detention location and transferred to Guantanamo Bay. Have you made any effort to ask to represent him?
No, we're not. We have not been asked by family members to represent him, and nor have we made an effort to represent him. We're our hands are full, let's put it that way.
I can understand. I'm just curious, do you know if he has any legal counsel at this point?
I don't know that. If he is ever charged with a crime and brought before a military tribunal or a commission, the government will have to find a lawyer for him within the Judge Advocate General's office, and I'm you know, they'll find good people because the people who work in those offices are very good people. So at that point, he'll have a lawyer. But right now, no, he doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Bill Goodman. He is the legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Their website is ccr-ny.org if you'd like to get more information. That is ccr-ny.org. Bill, in your own words, how damaging is this Military Commissions Act without habeas corpus, with its remarkable language that permits the president to interpret the Geneva Conventions and decide whether or not to comply with Common Article 3, and it gives the president wide latitude in a number of other areas as well?
Well, yes. The Military Commissions Act is devastating in a lot of ways. It, if you look at it from one angle, it certainly authorizes at this point the President of the United States to pick up anybody he chooses anywhere in the world, including in the United States. And if that person is not a citizen of the United States, that person can be held indefinitely and never brought in front of a judge or magistrate. That person, under the terms of the statute, can be subjected to the kind of treatment that we have been shocked by, you know, hypothermia, waterboarding, being forced to strip, humiliated sexually. All of these kinds of things can happen and are will no longer be considered violations of the Geneva Convention. And even if they are violations of the Geneva Convention, there's no redress. That person cannot sue for anything, cannot go to court, has no rights at all. This is a person who is simply there because the president has designated him or her as a unlawful enemy combatant.
Right.
And that is a broad, broad definition, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And that definition, by the way, in the new statute of unlawful enemy combatant can include American citizens as well as non-citizens.
Well, that was a question I wanted to follow up on, because a moment ago you did exclude, you actually described it as applying only to non-Americans, and I believe that in the final language of the bill, that is not present. And so the example I offer is that Dan Ellsberg, who was on our program last week,
right,
he wrote this piece in Harper's Magazine, encouraged current members of the administration to blow the whistle in the manner that he did with the Pentagon Papers back in 1971. And I would say that I don't expect this to happen, but based on the language in the law, it could be construed that if somebody actually did what Dan Ellsberg advocates, that he would then be open to this declaration of an unlawful enemy combatant for aiding and abetting someone in leaking classified information from the U.S. government. Now, I recognize this is a bit of a stretch, but the way the law is written, it doesn't have any caveats or limitations that would preclude it.
It does not. Anyone who organizes a demonstration against the administration of the president and protests the way in which people who have been picked up are being treated can be labeled as non-lawful enemy combatant. And the distinction I made was the consequences of that designation. If you're designated as an unlawful enemy combatant, it's one thing. But the law, at least at this point, says that only if you are designated as an unlawful enemy combatant or awaiting such designation, you are a non-citizen. That's when the habeas corpus clause kicks in.
Mm.
That's when the torture provisions kick in. All of these things then these processes become activated as to non-citizens.
So then,
it's huge. It's broad. It's sweeping. I mean,
yeah,
it applies to millions and millions of non-citizens living in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And again, I could be swept up as an unlawful enemy combatant. We have just filed treason charges against an American citizen who's made two Al-Qaeda videos. That is a different kind of charge, and I recognize that. If I were declared a UEC, I would still have habeas corpus rights because
That's
I'm
right.
a United States citizen, but I could be detained and interrogated in a rough manner?
Sure, I think you could be. You would have The difference between you and someone who is not a citizen is that you would still have some lawful recourse,
mm-hmm.
Because you could because the courts have been stripped of jurisdiction to hear claims for habeas corpus, which, by the way, includes claims of torture and rough treatment. But also all other actions have been denied these people, so they cannot sue for being tortured. They can't sue. Their families can't sue if they're killed. They can't sue for any of these things. No litigation. You cannot bring a case. You cannot go into court. These charges will never be aired. And that's what this is all about, Peter. They don't want this, what they have done, to become public. Not only because it's so awful, but because it's so incredibly incompetent in terms of the so-called war on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the dangers of terrorism are greater today than they were before this bunch of clowns came into power.
And, Bill Goodman, I just checked my records here so I didn't misspeak. Senator Spector, the man from Pennsylvania who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, who did appear to fight hard for habeas corpus language and lost, he voted in favor of the final bill, and he claims that he's confident that the courts will overturn at least the habeas corpus stripping portion of the bill. Do you have that same kind of confidence?
I don't have the same confidence in our judicial system that Senator Spector does. However, I do think that this is a clear violation of Article 1 of the Constitution. It does represent a suspension of the writ of habeas corpus, which is prohibited in Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution. This is the broadest, most sweeping suspension that this country has seen in its history. Only four times before has the writ been suspended, even on a limited basis, even on a narrow basis, both geographically narrow and in terms of time, you know, the period in which it applied, it's narrow.
Mm-hmm.
This applies all over the world. It, by the way, it applies in the United States. If someone's a non-citizen picked up in the United States, they can be held indefinitely if they've been declared an unlawful enemy combatant, according
mm-hmm.
to this statute.
Mm-hmm.
So it applies all throughout the world. And the only other times in American history where this has happened, as I said, has been extremely limited during the Civil War in a part of the Confederacy that was, in effect, a battlefield. During Reconstruction, in order to suppress the insurrection of the Ku Klux Klan at that time, and in a very limited part of the United States. In the Philippines, during the Revolution of 1902, it was suspended, but that was in the Philippines, and again, it was for a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hawaii, you know, immediately after Pearl Harbor. And those are the only times in history. Nothing that we have seen has the breadth and scope of this particular legislation. And it does violate that provision of the Constitution. It is a suspension of the writ.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, we would hope that the courts would recognize it and declare it to be unconstitutional. But in the meantime, men are waiting and rotting on Guantanamo and all around the world because of this program.
We're going to take a break and return with Bill Goodman. He's the legal director of the Center for Constitutional Rights. I'm outraged by this. You've probably noticed that. If you share my outrage, let me hear it. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm still your humble host, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This is Laura Pruneda, Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunedaRealEstate.com.
join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pilar for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghoulish, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Or have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. NPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
On the way today on the Peter B. Collins Show, right after the top of the hour, Scott Dick will join us. He's our informed contributor on military and veterans issues. Also, we're going to get a call later today from Congressman Javier Becerra, a Democrat from Los Angeles, because Arnold Schwarzenegger was given a free outing on Jay Leno's Tonight Show last night, and under the federal law, they have to offer equal time to Democrat Phil Angelides. NBC has not done so, so we'll take that controversy up as we kick off the free speech zone in our third hour. Still ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show today. We continue with Bill Goodman. As we mentioned, he's legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, and their website is ccr-ny.org if you'd like to get more information on the issues we've been discussing. And Bill, this may come as, totally new to you, but I just am compelled to pass it along. We have a regular contributor to our program, Larissa Alexandrovna, and she is the managing editor of the website rawstory.com. She is a Russian emigre, an American citizen, and she has a cousin who is a naturalized American who was rounded up by the ICE team of the Immigration Service a few weeks back. And she's been seriously mistreated. They have moved her from one detention center to another. When they do so, they shackle her and make her lie face down in a van, somewhat the way we treat the detainees at Gitmo and elsewhere. They have denied her important heart medication that she relies on to keep her health, and they are threatening to deport her. Now, to be fair, it turns out that she took a conviction about 20 years ago. I don't know the nature of the offense, but she does have that on her record. And it appears that under the law, she is eligible for deportation. But they are handling her in a manner that is consistent with the detainees. She's been held without charge. She was incommunicado for at least 48 hours, if not longer. And Larissa informs us that there may be as many as 1,000 people who have been rounded up in these sweeps recently. Have you heard anything about this at CCR?
We have not. No, we haven't. We are not probably as tuned into immigrant rights groups as we should be, and I have not heard a lot of. Let's put it this way: static or conversation about this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it does reflect this the basically shocking lack of rights that immigrants do have in this country. Mm-hmm. At this point, really bad since Clinton amended the Immigration Act. I think it's been much worse since that time, but of course it's been much, much worse since 9/11. Much worse, and we you mentioned the Turkmen case, obviously our clients there were beaten and tortured as well. But I think that we could, I'm not surprised to hear that this thing is going on a larger scale recently. I think that, among other things, the new Military Commissions Act gives the Immigration Service a wide latitude to engage in this kind of violation of people's rights. It's very disturbing.
Well, and the you know, we've been unable to determine that there's been any media coverage of this, and it just appears to be a case of out of sight, out of mind, not American, and who cares? And
who cares until they come for you, as, you know, Pastor Niemöller pointed out.
Yeah, and we've had these, you know, one distraction after another. There was Bucky the cop killer in New York State, and then there was John Mark Carr, who claimed to have been there when JonBenet Ramsey died. And the media's been going off on these wild goose chases and, you know, over-covering school shootings as really critical long-term issues like this detention bill are given way short shrift.
Yes, I think that your criticism of the media is correct, Peter. I think it's been unfortunate, and it requires much more attention, and because this is one of those really rare moments in history that we will all look back on and say, at that point, this is when things changed.
Yeah. Let's take a call from a great American, Ben in Salinas. Hello, Ben, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Mr. Goodman, I have two brief questions, and I hope that they're intelligent questions. Due to the retroactive nature of this bill, doesn't that fly in the face of ex post facto laws which are unconstitutional, sir?
That's a very good question, and the the traditional distinction that courts make is that if you have substantive rights that are affected retroactively, that is a violation of the ex post facto law.
Okay.
If they are procedural rights, which they're arguing that this is, because this is the jurisdiction of the court to hear a claim for habeas corpus, you have not lost those rights. It's kind of a shell game, I agree with you, and I think that that we intend to argue ultimately, among other things, that
and also
constitutes a violation of the
and
law.
Also, Mr. Goodman?
Ben, just a second. I just want to make a point to tag your excellent question. The language of the law says that the retroactivity goes back to 1998 or 1999, not to September 11th, which many people imagine to be the case.
Okay, but this, that plays to my second question. I think that they're not signing it because they're waiting for the election, because the people, when he signed it, it's going to come out that not only is he doing away with habeas corpus, but in that same action, they're doing away with probable cause and due process. Are we going to really give one man this kind of power, showing his mentality?
Well, Congress has done it, sadly. I mean, it was a close vote in Congress on habeas, and that portion of the statute ultimately was 48-51 for the Specter Amendment, but when it passed by a larger margin, and sadly Congress is making that kind of allowance. I will point out, and people should know this, that we at the Center for Constitutional Rights and other groups are sponsoring a demonstration on the 17th and recognizing it as a day of mourning for precious rights that are being buried on that day.
Well, I'll close by saying this. It seems to me, and I try to be an optimist, and I dearly love this country, but if we don't wake up and vote correctly on this next election, America is ours to lose.
That's a good point.
You're right on target there, Ben. Thank you for the call today. And again, the protest is on October 17th. That'll be next Tuesday?
Yes, it'll be at 9 o'clock. You can check our website to get the details on it.
Bill Goodman, always a pleasure. Thanks for your hard work, and please commend your staff for me.
Thank you, Peter. Good to talk to you again.
Bill Goodman, Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. Scott Dick's going to join us next on the Peter B. Collin.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meat. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The pace of the Page probe picks up.
Mark Foley's former aide gets grilled by the House Ethics Committee.
Kirk has been forthcoming with them.
I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
The Bush administration wants a UN vote on North Korea.
We shouldn't allow meetings and more meetings and more meetings and more meetings to be an excuse for inaction.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. At a Republican fundraiser in Chicago this afternoon, President Bush made a public show of support for Dennis Hastert.
I am proud to be standing with the current Speaker of the House, who is going to be the future Speaker of the House.
Meanwhile, back in Washington, the House Ethics Committee heard from a man who claims he told the Speaker's office a long time ago about Congressman Mark Foley's misconduct.
Former Foley Chief of Staff Kirk Fordham emerged from the Ethics Committee hearing room after nearly 5 hours.
We really can't provide any information specifically about what was asked.
His lawyer, Tim Hafey, spoke to reporters with his client at his side.
He has been consistent in his accounts of these events. He's been truthful and cooperative and will continue to be.
Fordham's account differs from Republican leaders who say they found out about Foley's contacts with House pages within the last 12 months. Fordham says he told them about it 3 or 4 years ago. The committee wants to know if there was a cover-up. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano, I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
At the UN, U.S. Ambassador John Bolton is pushing hard for a vote tomorrow on sanctions to punish North Korea. China and Russia say they need more time, but Bolton believes they'll come around, saying there's very strong support in the Security Council to send a strong message.
If North Korea thinks that it's succeeding in intimidating other council members, they're very much mistaken.
Closed-door negotiations continue. A vote might not come till Saturday. The new commander of the British Army offers an exit strategy for Iraq. In an interview with the Daily Mail, General Richard Dennett calls Prime Minister Tony Blair's policies naive and says British forces should, quote, get ourselves out sometime soon because our presence exacerbates the security problems. The White House says it's the democratically elected Iraqi leaders who've asked coalition forces to stay. In New York, investigators started the detail work today, gathering evidence at the site where baseball star Corey Lytle's plane crashed into a high-rise building.
Initial field examination shows strong evidence that the propellers were turning at the time of impact.
Debbie Herzman of the National Transportation Safety Board contradicts reports that there was a distress call before the crash. She says there was just routine communication between the plane and air traffic controllers. A 41-year-old Florida man says he's the victim of his in-law's vendetta. He denies abusing his 9-year-old son by keeping the boy a prisoner at home. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
Randall Piercy says he didn't do anything wrong.
This is totally unfair. I'm a very, very, very loving father.
But Sheriff's Lieutenant Andy Smith says he locked his son in a room, watching every move on TV or computer screens.
And the child has never attended school, has no friends,
and does not receive medical attention and may have been totally cut off from the outside world.
She says when she brought the boy outside, he said, "I have to pinch myself." Things like this come only once in a lifetime. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The boy's mother concedes they are very protective parents. She says the boy was locked in his room at night because he's hyperactive and might wander and hurt himself. More progress in the tainted spinach investigation. Dr. Kevin Riley of the California Health Department says the same strain of E. coli bacteria that killed three people and sickened 200 has been found in cattle manure on a Salinas Valley ranch. But Riley says they have not determined that the ranch was the source of the contamination.
We do not have a smoking cow at this point.
The work continues. The Food and Drug Administration says spinach is now safe to eat. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage-stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new. Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic, cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer, like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. I'm your humble host, Peter B. The U.S. military that is often responsible for keeping the free world free. This hour, we're going to spend time with our contributor on military and veterans affairs, Scott Dick. He served in the Marines and then retired from the United States Army as a major. And I went into the tax-deductible PBC music archives for this one.
Between the security of childhood and responsibilities of adulthood comes the fascinating group of humans called Marines. They come in all sizes and shapes and uniforms and can usually be found on ships, in bunkers, embassy duty, in love, in bars, in jail, or in debt.
And we find our ex-Marine in Carmel Valley, California today. Hello, Scott Dick.
Hello, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Are you familiar with that one? That's Ernie Maresca.
I've never heard that before in my life.
Really? It's a filler song on $20 Million Memories, Volume 2. Yeah, I've been shopping in the discount bins, and this is what you come up with.
Did you happen to get that at the dollar store, and how much was it?
No, I got it at Amoeba Records, $1.95.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, Scott, we got a lot to talk about. I was traveling, you were traveling, and you and I haven't hooked up in a couple of weeks, and there have been quite a few developments. Why don't we start with the freshest, which is the president's news conference yesterday, and some related news that delivered over the last 48 hours or so. First up, what comments did you find intriguing from the president's Rose Garden news conference yesterday?
Well, I thought that's when he denied that it was 600,000. He didn't know how many, but he thought that was a gross exaggeration of the number of Iraqis that have been killed in that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who's counting.
Well, that's an important issue because when our government and our military leaders declined to accept these estimates that have come from some pretty respected scientists at Johns Hopkins University, they don't have any data of their own to counter with.
Yeah, but remember, Peter, the Bush administration, they set their own reality. They create their own reality.
I forgot.
So if the reality is, their reality is, it could be possible that they've inflicted that much death and destruction on Iraqi populace. And if they have, well, they're all a bunch of terrorists anyway, so what?
Well, and Bush made a chilling remark yesterday. I don't have the quote in front of me, but it was something to the effect of how amazing it is that the Iraqi people are so tolerant of the violence, and it's because they're on their way to freedom and democracy.
I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Darn, Peter, I was hoping that you were going to let me start off with a new, it's a relatively new Bush lie, or maybe we could talk about his cut-and-run strategy for winning the conflict in Afghanistan.
Go right ahead.
Which one, the Bush lie or the...
Let's start with the lie.
Well, this is interesting because you have to be sort of a military aficionado to pick up on this, and I am one. So just let me play this. It's very short.
And we can be confident in victory because of the skill and resolve of America's armed forces. Every one of our troops is a volunteer.
Ah, Peter.
Every one of our troops is a volunteer. I heard him say it.
You heard him say it. And nobody in the mainstream media picked up on that. And the reason it's a lie is because thousands of American men and women who are in uniform, who've honorably discharged their duties under the contracts that they signed at the time, are being held against their will under the military stop-loss program.
Right.
And the military can complain about how it's unity, or you know, it's organizational unity, and how they're going to keep the cohesion of the force together. It's 90 days before they deploy, once they're alerted, until 90 days after. And I looked at the message sent to the troops and their end of tour service, their ETS dates. That's one of the most famous dates in all the military. Was they were automatically changed to 2031. Now, granted, that's just a date keeper, but still, that would give me big goosebumps if I saw that on my ID card.
Yeah. Well, the other related issue is that the military released a report last week claiming that they met all of their recruitment goals for 2006.
Right, and the way they did that was they've pushed the standard down so low. One, they increased the age to 42 for enlisting. That cracks me up.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes me laugh. And
you just had a birthday. Can we acknowledge that you turned 50 last week?
Yes.
And so when you imagine yourself, just 8 years older than the people who are eligible to enlist, how does that make you feel?
Well, it boggles my mind. First of all, do they expect this person to serve 20 years? I guess that's what they're trying to do, is get him to mandatory retirement age. So I very well could have had a first sergeant or somebody in the Army who was in their 60s and getting ready to retire, in their 50s. A staff sergeant, for example, who's been on active duty for 10 years, is in his 50s. I mean, give me a break. Mm-hmm. This is definitely a young person's sport. And then, of course, they're at 84% high school graduates. So that means that the other services are at around 90, 92, 94%. So they've really reduced their standards as far as letting people in that haven't met up heretofore basic aptitude tests.
Mm-hmm.
So the trouble that we used to have in the 80s when we had the same kind of recruiting issues because the economy was okay, they're going to have now. I'll give you a good example, Peter. Maintenance manuals. There's a monthly maintenance manual that comes out for mechanics, and it's written as a comic book that a 6th and 7th grader can read fluently. Comic book.
Really? That gives me a great deal of confidence. Now, what about, say, operating an automatic weapon? They have comic books or videos or...
Well, all of the above. I mean, if they have a weapons maintenance manual, it comes out and it's sort of done in a silly form, but it's still a comic book, and they write it that way for a reason, so everybody can understand it. And speaking of which, there have been 74 deaths in theaters from accidental discharge of firearms.
I didn't know that.
And they punished, and that happened regularly in Bosnia, and they punished those soldiers for those accidental discharges pretty seriously. They'll take time and money away from them if they're enlisted, letters of reprimand if they're an officer, and that pretty much is a career ender. And they actually have been putting people under restriction, basically arresting them and putting them in the equivalent of a civilian jail, military jail for these discharges. But Cheney, he shoots somebody in the face, and they just laugh about it.
Well, we're still laughing about that one.
Isn't that funny?
Kind of. In some ways, it's not, but...
No, it's not. And so it's... When you have decreasing standards for enlistees in the military, it's a problem across the board because they have all sorts of jobs. A lot of them in basic, you know, military occupational specialties like infantry, armor, artillery, cooks. Who do we have winning the hearts and minds on the ground in Iraq? Infantrymen, artillerymen, armor guys, armor crewmen.
Well, and a lot of contractors, 125,000 by the most recent count.
And as I said before, what did we used to call those, Peter?
Mercenaries.
Thank you.
Or the Hessians.
Those mercenaries get, those contractors get paid the big bucks, and so now they're trying to change the retirement rules for special operations, what they call special operators, special operations veterans, so they can retire and count into their base pay, danger pay, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to keep these guys on active duty because there's such a pull to go to the private sector. And if you look at Karzai, for example, who's his security team? They're not Afghanis. They're Americans in suits.
Yeah. Scott Dick is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join our conversation. We're going to talk military and veterans issues this entire hour. And if you served and if you are a veteran, you want to talk about how things are working for you with the VA or other issues, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. And some of the things we'll be talking about are the new proposal from the Army. It's mostly a budget document, but they're tipping their hand that they expect 140,000 troop level to be maintained in Iraq through the year 2010. Also, we're going to get an update from Scott in a moment on the troop count in Afghanistan and exactly who's in charge there. And there are a lot of other issues that we're going to talk about, too, including the way reservists from New York City have been dunned because of, misunderstandings regarding combat pay and continuation of their pay from government entities in New York. So those are all ahead this hour, and we would be delighted to hear from you. Join the conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Or you can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. It's 16 minutes past the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. 648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Take a look at traffic. SoCal, looks like San Jose Road at O'Neill. We have the traffic lights not working there. And the arrow is not working, so CHP is en route there. Santa Cruz, southbound 1 before Morrissey Boulevard. Fender bender right shoulder. It's a big rig and a car. And the CHP again on the way to the scene. A big problem in Salinas right now. Castroville Road at Espinosa. An injury crash. It's actually a produce hauling big rig that was hit by an Amtrak truck. Now, power lines also knocked down in the area. Fire department, emergency crews, all on scene. The support brought to you by Therafuel. Protect yourself and your family this flu season at select Rite Aids. Get a flu shot sponsored by Theraflu for $25 on October 12th through the 14th. Learn more at Theraflu.com or RiteAid.com. I'm Mike O'Shea with traffic on KXRA at 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. Your calls and comments are welcome. We're talking military and veterans issues with retired Army Major Scott Dick. And lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 1-888-573-8372. And, Scott, during the break, I looked up some information that we were discussing yesterday with journalist Dar Jamail. And he published a piece at truthout.org on October the 5th. And a year ago, November of 2005, the U.S. listed 428 civilian contractors as having lost their lives in Afghanistan and Iraq, and almost 4,000 wounded. And the numbers have climbed. I don't have the latest number on wounded, but Dar cited a figure of about 625 fatalities of contractors yesterday. And Matt Renner, our able producer, whose voice was left at the Oakland A's game yesterday, he mentioned that, you know, we don't know what benefits these contractors are entitled to. In other words, if they are wounded in Iraq, they don't get to come to a VA hospital, right?
No, unless they're veterans themselves. But this is a gray area. It's one way that the contractors save money. It depends on their medical benefits and how much they take care of them. And, you know, there's been a big scandal about them hiring third country nationals to take these contractor jobs and leaving them penniless. The Army had to order the contractors to not take the passports of their employees so they could leave if they wanted to. They're basically being held against their will. It was a bit of a scandal.
So they were conscripted, more or less.
Enticed, much like, you know, white slavery, where they enticed a woman to come over and do house cleaning, and the next minute she finds out she's a prostitute. It's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been ordered to return their passports, and if they're wounded, a lot of them are just returned back to their country of origin. So we have a kind of a health safety net in the United States, but there are a lot of countries that the third-party nationals came from that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're basically dumped at their homes or back on the street.
Yeah. Very interesting. Now, yesterday we heard this plan enumerated that would allow for 140,000 American troops to remain in Iraq through 2010. And Don Rumsfeld explained it away as just a planning document, it's just a budgeting thing, and that he and the president will make the decision on troop levels going forward after consulting with the generals in the field. We've heard that line over and over again. What does this really mean in practical terms? Is it simply a planning document that establishes a budget for troop levels that high, or is that a canard?
Well, in all fairness to the Chief of Staff of the Army, you have to be able to plan out 3 or 4 years in advance because of the training cycle. It takes 18 months to 2 years to get, for example, rotation at the National Training Center at Fort Irwin or for Fort Polk. And if you're deployed now, you need to get into a training cycle at one of those two training bases, and that takes, that's an 18 to 24 month process, plus the training, plus the refit. So it's fair for them to say 2010, and then that allows them to do some short term planning, which the Army considers to be out to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fair. Now, the lie that Rumsfeld tells, we know it's a lie because he doesn't consult with anybody. He's fixed the number, and if generals want to keep their jobs, they don't ask for more. So the troops below them, the commanders on the ground, ask those generals, and the generals just don't take it forward, or they get fired, like Eric Shinseki did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is, Peter, I brought this up to you a month ago, that the commanders, the senior generals in Iraq, were saying that those 140,000 troops were only because new units were coming in and old units hadn't left yet, and it was the carryover period, you know, the transition, the handover time. So now that's the problem with not remembering which lie you told last.
Yeah. Because aren't we north of 150,000 boots on the ground right now?
Right. And that's, you know, as I want to remind your listeners, we have airmen doing convoy duty. We have Navy battalions doing convoy duty on the ground there. It's not just the Army. The Army is strapped so tight that we have 74,000 National Guardsmen and reservists there as well. And every time if you look at the paper and you see a staff sergeant who's 48 years old, who's been killed in Iraq, you know automatically he's a reservist or guardsman.
Well, and then we have the prospect of this extensive whack-a-mole game, and I think the whack-a-mole metaphor has been overused, but it's the best way to describe what we're doing. We've now redeployed a lot of American troops into Baghdad itself to try to reduce the level of violence there. I mean, 50 dead bodies roll up almost every morning, some tossed into the Tigris River, some just tossed off on the streets. These are people who've been killed execution style. And it doesn't appear to me that no matter how many American forces you put in there, that you can actually prevent much of that inter-Iraqi death that is occurring.
Don't say civil war, Peter.
Thank you. It's sectarian violence.
Right.
But we have this situation where the U.S. forces acknowledge, now maybe the generals don't say so to Bush, but in reports to the media that are filtering out of Iraq, and the reporting is somewhat limited, but what we're hearing is that they will pacify a certain area of Baghdad, say Sadr City, and they don't have enough troops to secure it and maintain control. And so they put out the fire, they move on to the next one, and then a week or two later, they're probably going to be back in that same neighborhood trying to quell the latest disturbance.
Well, the beauty of guerrilla warfare, and this is basically what they're encountering in Baghdad, in Iraq, is that they pick the target, they pick the fight, they pick the place, the time, everything. So if a large contingent of heavily armed troops come into an area, they're not going to pick a fight with them. They're going to go someplace else, sip tea, wait for a week or two, and then when the troops pull out, they're going to move back into the area. It's as simple as that. They're not fielding conventional, you know, platoon size or company size forces against our troops. They'll get their butts kicked.
Well, and isn't that kind of the original meaning of cut and run? That, you know, you use these tactics to evade your enemy today so that you can surprise attack them tomorrow.
Well, and the other thing is, Peter, the commanders on the ground have been asking for more troops, and Rumsfeld and Bush has been saying they need all the troops. They have all the troops they need. They haven't. Nobody's asked for more, which is a lie. Joe Galloway, I've interviewed him before. He says as much. It's a lie. They just won't forward those requests. And what happens, this whole thing about moving troops, holding the Stryker Brigade back from returning home, and extending moving up the deployment of the 1st Armored the 1st Brigade from the 1st Armored Division, is saying what everybody's been saying all along. There are not enough troops in Iraq. And so now they're keeping more troops there. They're putting in Baghdad, and they're just confirming what people have been saying.
Yeah. Scott, we're going to take a break and continue. Scott Dick is our contributor on military and veterans affairs. And as we continue, we'll talk about the leak of the Baker Commission report. And we'll get Scott's appraisal of the situation in Afghanistan. Join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Do we dare imagine? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The 9/11 report faulted investigators for a failure of imagination. So, shall we imagine? Yesterday, a small plane flew into a 50-story condominium in New York City by accident. Also yesterday, the Justice Department charged this man with treason.
Then we'll have nothing better than the heat of battle, the echo of explosions, and slitting the throats of the infidels.
He is known as Adam Gadan, nicknamed Azam the American, who, as the name implies, is a very American-looking young man turned Islamic totalitarian who stands accused of threatening attacks on various cities.
Now is the time to decide where you want to spend eternity, in gardens of paradise or in the pits of hell.
Let me get back to you on that. And just after this American-looking Al-Qaeda fugitive was indicted for threatening to attack cities, Corey Lytle's plane took off from Teterboro Airport. Without a flight plan or transponder, it circled the Statue of Liberty. Without a flight plan or transponder, it flew past the site of the new Freedom Tower. Then north over the East River, over the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Williamsburg Bridge, and past the United Nations, until it slammed into the Bel Air 13 minutes after takeoff. Reminding us that to have more than 3 ounces of shampoo in your carry-on is considered dangerous, but it is still legal to fly a small plane around New York City without a flight plan or a transponder. Does it take a lot of imagination to imagine what this man...
Death is something every soul must taste, and it may be closer than you or I think.
...might be imagining.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
Dennis Donahue is running for mayor of Salinas because he has a vision of a great city and a plan to make it real. Dennis's community safety plan has earned the trust and the endorsement of the Salinas Police Officers Association, the Monterey County Deputy Sheriffs Association, the California Organization of Police and Sheriffs, and the National Latino Police Officers Association. Imagine a great city. Vote Dennis Donahue for mayor of Salinas.
I'm Dennis Donahue, and I approve this message.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Next Wednesday, the 18th of October, we're going to take this show on the road to one of my favorite California cities, Eureka area. We're going to be live from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Del Arte School of Performing Arts in Blue Lake, just east of Arcata. And I hope you'll join us there. You can contact our affiliate, KGOE 1480, to get all the details and ticket information. It is free, but we'd like to have we'd like you to have a ticket because there's a higher probability you'll actually show up. And still to come today on the Peter B. Collins Show, our free speech zone next hour, we're going to hear a brief comment from Congressman Javier Becerra of Los Angeles. He's a Democrat. And last night, Arnold Schwarzenegger was a guest on the Jay Leno show. He's a candidate for governor here in California, and his Democratic opponent has not been offered equal time. We're going to talk about it. We continue now with Scott Dick. As I mentioned, he was in the Marines and then retired as an Army major. He has served our country, and he's a great source of information and commentary on military and veterans issues. And if you'd like to join us, perhaps you served or you have a relative who's currently serving, or you're just a citizen with some comments, we'd love to hear from you. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Scott, let's flash back to the glorious victory in Afghanistan and talk about the current situation there. Actually, how many American troops are serving in Afghanistan today? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, 18,000, around 18,000.
18,000.
Right.
Okay. Now, haven't we brought in NATO troops that are active in Afghanistan today?
Yeah, we have two, out of that 18,000, we have 2,000 serving directly under NATO command. Well, actually, Peter, all of them are serving under NATO command, and it's divided by the northern part of Afghanistan is now under German control. And as we discussed a month ago, those troops, because of the rules of engagement, are now not allowed to move out of their sector.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to be used as sort of a, you know, a quick reaction force. And then we have a Brits and NATO. They were down in the south, and the Americans were in the most dangerous part in the east, and they're still there, except now NATO's taking command.
All right, now let me take these one at a time. The Germans are in the north with very limited rules of engagement, and the north is really the most critical area because that's the border area with Pakistan, and that is the site of great tension between the two favorite American or American favorite leaders, Hamid Karzai of Afghanistan and Pervez Musharraf of Pakistan. And they're so angry at each other that Bush tried to hold a little love fest at the White House a week or two ago, and by all accounts it was not successful. But the point of conflict there, at least one of them, is that Afghanistan believes that Pakistan is not only preventing cross-border activity, but they seem to be encouraging the Taliban in the Waziristan provinces, the real rural parts of Pakistan.
Well, Peter, I don't mean to be feisty, but...
Go right ahead.
If you look at the map, it's actually the north is pretty settled. It's the east that is the biggest, the most dangerous part.
Okay, so it's the eastern border with Pakistan.
Right,
okay.
And that's, of course, where the Americans are.
Okay, well, thanks for clarifying that. I don't have a map in front of me, and I'm not that good on that part of the world.
No, it's a funny piece of terrain, and it's the northeastern part. Is that most dangerous part, and the Germans are actually a little farther northwest.
Okay.
So they have the Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan area that they have to worry about. So there's not a lot happening up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the Northern Alliance, and so we know that they fought against the Taliban. They fought with us at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan. Now, out of those 18,000 troops, most people don't realize, Peter, that this is the Bush administration's cut-and-run strategy for winning in Afghanistan. Because all the Marines are gone, with a few exceptions, and out of these 18,000 troops, we know, generally, rule of thumb, that it takes six non-trigger pullers to support one guy, one boot on the ground, one
mm-hmm.
set of boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play with all these numbers, we're really talking about 4,400 combat soldiers. Now,
right.
There's not a lot of terrain you can hold with 4,400 combat soldiers.
And it's a huge country that has never been successfully invaded and occupied long term.
Exactly. And we really need about 300,000 troops in Afghanistan to go get this, as I've said before, rat bastard Osama bin Laden, who's the real target of, it shouldn't be the global war on terror, because that's like the global war on the night attack. It should be the global war against Al-Qaeda and the named individual Osama bin Laden. He should be our target, in
mm-hmm.
my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, when we talk about units, that we have two brigade headquarters, something called an area support command, that's logistics, two military police battalions, a military intelligence company, we have two military intelligence companies there, a combat support hospital, a personnel services battalion, they do the mail, you know, they do the personnel, that kind of graze registration,
uh-huh.
a couple engineer battalions, another area support group, a headquarters and headquarters company of an infantry group, an engineer group, three logistical task forces, an engineer brigade, and then we have other army elements. So when you talk about, there's two brigades there. And out of those, they have their own headquarters service companies. That's where the cooks are. That's where the scouts are. That's where the mechanics are. You know, they have their own military police units. They provide local security for those units. But we're talking really 550, if they're at full strength, infantry guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 600 per battalion. Normally three battalions and a brigade. We have two brigade combat teams.
So, I mean, there are sheriff's departments larger than that in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. So
the
Democrats aren't the party of cut and run. The Republicans are the party of cut and run, and yet they use that as a sound bite to somehow get it in Americans' head that, you know, they're big on fighting the war on terror, when actually what they're doing, they're fighting the optional war in Iraq, and they're not doing that very well either.
Well, your points are very much on target, Scott Dick. We're joined now by Alan in Scottsdale. Hello, Alan. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Major Scott Dick.
Hi, Major. Hi, Peter. This is Alan. I'm a veteran of the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
and I have 11 years in service. My daughter's a lieutenant, just got back from Afghanistan. Her husband's a lieutenant. He's in the Stryker 172nd in Baghdad right now. He was supposed to come home a month and a half ago, but he's been extended for 4 months. These people have destroyed the mightiest army in the entire world. I mean, it's just pathetic, and American people have no idea of the sacrifices that our military people are having to bear.
Well,
it's pathetic.
Alan, I really appreciate the point you're making. Go ahead, Scott.
They have no idea, and there's a little bit of good news. Congress has just authorized the reimbursement for 172nd Strike Brigade families and the soldiers. If they had vacations planned, if they had airplane tickets, if they'd already packed up their stuff and spent money out of their pocket, Congress has now approved refunds for these people. So it's imperative that you get with your daughter and make sure that they press. It's going to take a year and a half, Peter, for them to get money.
Yeah.
I mean, they still haven't reimbursed their troops for the body armor they bought.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Stryker Brigade. This is, they'd sent all their equipment home. They'd given away all their personal stuff. They were getting ready to get on the plane to come back to the United States when those guys, I was going to say idiots, changed their mind and said, no, you're staying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's heartless. It really is. Alan, I want to direct you, if you'd like, to the New York Times op-ed page today.
I sure will.
Bob Herbert wrote a powerful piece, and it's based on the comments of a Sergeant Mike Krause, who hails from Clarksville, Tennessee. And he talked about how he returned home. He's done three tours in Iraq. And at an airport, there was just a spontaneous outburst of applause when they saw him get off the plane. And he said, at first, he said, you know, that it felt nice. And then he realized that, you know, the people who were applauding for him have made no real sacrifices in this current war on terror, Iraq, or however you want to characterize it. And he's quoted here as saying, right now it's such a small minority of families who have a stake in all of this. I hear people say things like, we lost a lot of good people over there. I sort of snap around and say, we? You didn't lose anybody.
That's so true.
You know what I mean?
How many
I have a lot of people
who
come up to me and they say, well, tell my daughter that thank for her service. And I want to say, well, why don't you have someone in your family go and take her place so that these people can rotate?
Yeah. Yeah,
Scott. Makes me very angry.
Scott, go ahead.
I was going to ask, how many rotations has she made already to Afghanistan or Iraq?
She's made one, but her unit is preparing to go back to Iraq. She lost her best friend, a female. She was a West Point graduate. Her father was a general. I mean, a long history of military people, but she lost her best friend.
You know, Alan, I don't mean to worry you, but, Peter, this is something, too. The VA claims are beginning to come in from our vets returning. Now, as I said before, we used to remark in the conversation, this is a Vietnam vet with two tours. That was something very unusual. Alan, am I right?
You are absolutely right, and those are the ones that volunteered to stay there.
Right, and so those guys, we said, okay, he went to Vietnam, and these guys, he has two tours in Vietnam or three tours because that was so unusual. Now we have troops with three and four tours, either in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and the VA
mandatory.
Is already beginning to see claims that they are saying that are so significant, up to 40% of troops returning home and getting out of the military are filing and receiving disability claims, and they're saying this is going to have long-term major budgetary issues for the United States.
And we're not prepared for it either.
No, we're not. The VA, matter of fact, the president of the Veterans of Foreign Affairs sought and received a personal visit with Bush because he's so concerned about veterans' health care. He said they're concerned that the VA budget won't adequately serve the needs of the veterans population that now includes thousands of wounded troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. The backlog of benefits claims from veterans and survivors is now more than 850,000.
Wow.
And this is the administration. I get a little frustrated. No emotion here, Peter. This is the We Support Our Troops administration. I'd hate to see them if they didn't support the troops.
Well, this sounds a little cynical, perhaps, but the Bush administration mainly views veterans as props to be used for photo ops and powerful chicken hawk speeches.
That's a fact.
Exactly.
It is so sad. We had the mightiest military, and they're wonderful people, but they've just been worn down.
Well, Alan, I appreciate your call today. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, just thank you for talking out, because I'm a service technician. I go into many people's homes, and I talk to them, and they have no idea of the sacrifices that these people are making. And it just rattles my cage, because they just let them go off into war. I mean, just, you know, just nilly-willy, like nothing is going to happen.
Yeah. Alan, thank you.
Thank you for being out there.
Well, I'm glad to have you listening. That's Alan in Scottsdale. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment with more. And Scott Dick will continue with us. So if you have a comment, there's still room for your call. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. 16 minutes away. It's actually 14 minutes away from the hour. And I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Jim Ross of National Real Estate Holdings is back as our special guest on Rock Rollin' Real Estate this Sunday at 10 a.m. Jim has got special offers just for Rock Rollin' Real Estate listeners. He has D.R. Horton Homes giving him a 2% discount on a purchase and a 2% discount towards closing costs to any deal in Austin, Houston, and Fort Worth, Texas that he's involved in. Call him at 866-383-9977. He also has a great deal in Palm Springs, but you have to listen this week to Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Taking a look at traffic, we're going to take a look at a crash in San Martin, southbound 101 at San Martin Avenue. Fender bender, two vehicles on the shoulder there. If you are in Santa Cruz, Bonnie Dune at Pine Flat, injury crash, fire department and paramedics on the scene. A vehicle hit a pedestrian, and pretty busy area as of right now. Other than that, traffic looking pretty good. No problems and no crashes or stalls on Highway 17 at this point. And this report is brought to you by Alaska Airlines. Say hola to warm weather. Fly Alaska Airlines from San Francisco to Mexico, including Ixtapa and Mazatlan, or hop on one of our new nonstop flights to Cancun starting October 29th. Make your reservations today at AlaskaAir.com. I'm Mike McDowell with traffic on KRXA 540.
continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 11 minutes away from the hour. We're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. Got a gaggle of phone calls. We're going to get right to you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Scott, before we take more calls, I just wanted to point out something that we learned at the beginning of our program today. Faz Shakir is at the Center for American Progress, and if people want to look at the website thinkprogress.org, there's a story posted there based on some preliminary information from the Baker Commission's report. Now, this is not supposed to be released until after the election because, well, it wouldn't be to the Bush administration's advantage. They say that it's because they don't want to get it all balled up in politics. But the Baker Commission report allegedly, and this is according to the ultra-conservative New York Sun, will rule out the prospect for victory in Iraq and offer two options for the president. One is called stability first, and the other is called redeploy and contain. That second one sounds a lot like the MRTHA position, doesn't it?
Well, the first one is cut, and the second one is run.
Or is the second one run real fast?
And do not stop and pass go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Milton Bradley.
Well, this will be coming out over the next few weeks. And, Scott, you're there in Carmel Valley where Leon Panetta is comfortably retired. He served on this Baker Commission, and we're putting a request in so that as soon as the embargo is lifted, we can get his comments on the commission's actions and exactly what the proposals will be. But that's what we've heard so far. Let's take more calls here. Dave is on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Peter, Scott, I think that all discussions of how many troops we're going to need or how the war should be fought becomes irrelevant when we weigh in the fact that we have no legitimate reason whatsoever for being in these countries. They did nothing to this country. We're invading it because it's very, very profitable to the psychopaths that have stolen our government. That's the only reason that I can see that we're there.
Scott, do you have a reaction?
Well, yeah, the whole issue makes me hold my head, Peter. But we have troops there. They're there now. Short of, you know, we have to wait till the elections, and then that process is going to take time, and then we're going to have to get, you know, get our troops out of there. In the meantime, we need to give those men and women the tools they need to at least live through this. And that means more troops, more equipment, and we're going to have to spend more money. We just can't beam them out of Iraq overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They won't, but they should, Nick.
There's no doubt, and they will. The cut-and-run strategy will be employed in Iraq, the same as in Afghanistan. Congress has already put $20 million aside to have the celebration.
That's right, the victory parades.
The victory celebration, $20
million. Yeah.
No, but I get your point.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to me, but they're there, and the bureaucracy moves slow, and we just have to wait and see what happens after the election.
Dave, thank you very much. Now to Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed. You're on the air with Peter B. and Scott Dick.
Greetings. I'm just thinking of how much it will cost to put the Army back together again and get it to a state that it was in prior to Bush's fiasco.
Well, John MRTHA has said simply for the hardware, we're at least $50 billion in arrears. And that doesn't speak to the human cost or to the training cost. And we know that we have very limited troop reserves or even, you know, pools of troops that we could draw on to relieve the people who are in Iraq today. And my, you know, strong feeling, and I opposed the draft during Vietnam, and I'm not real keen on seeing it return, but I don't think that our government's going to have much choice. Scott, your thought?
No, as I've said before, the Army is the employer of last resort. We get people that have good people, honest people, hardworking people, people that are patriotic, and other people that just can't find jobs. And it rests disproportionately on a certain segment of our population. And it's not fair. It's not fair. It's one thing to work as a deterrent, and that's what the military was for 20 years. It was a deterrent. It's another thing to employ them in offensive operations against countries that we're not really at war with. Regime change is a euphemism for that.
Yeah.
Taking over countries you don't like. So, I mean, George the First did it with in Panama, and now we have the 43rd doing it in Iraq. Well, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Ed, anything else you want to add?
Well, that was my second point. I think that we do need the draft, and that that it would mainly for the one reason it'd share so everybody could get a piece of the action and we can go back and say we really support all our troops.
Mm-hmm. I also think, and again citing Bob Herbert's column today, that because the average American has no risk, no skins in this game, most people are oblivious to it, and we saw that last week with the World Can't Wait demonstration. It was a mobilization called for and not responded to. Let's go to Rob in Eureka. Rob, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, hi, Peter B. I'm a big fan of your show, and hi, Scott. I wanted to talk to you about a situation that I just encountered recently that kind of relates to a lot of the things you've been saying.
Go ahead.
It starts a couple years back. I was reading my local newspaper, and I saw an article in there by a guy, an op-ed by a guy who said that we needed to invade Iran, like right now. It was really, really militant article. And I was wondering what was up with this guy. You know, he sounded really rabid. So I did a Google search on him and found out that he was a 22-year-old college student from back in Michigan someplace. He grew up here in Humboldt, but he went to school back there.
Mm-hmm.
So I emailed him. I'm a vet myself. And I emailed him and asked him, well, hey, man, if you really think that, you know, if you really believe that way, why don't you go sign up? And he was absolutely incensed that I would even suggest such a thing. I mean, he was just, he just was just really insulting and just, you know, so
you mean you want me to put down my remote and my computer keyboard and actually do something?
Yeah, that was about the size of it. And, you know, he said he had a cool job and everything and he was going to, you know, he's going to be successful, but anyway, so I kind of forgot about him, you know, we kind of argued back and forth for a little while, and then I forgot about him, but then I found out later on that he was working for the Leadership Institute, which is a thing back in Washington, D.C.,
okay.
Which is like a conservative lobbying group,
mm-hmm.
That guy Morton Blackwell that did the little Band-Aid Purple Heart thing,
oh, okay.
He runs that,
uh-huh.
And, so I decided that... I was going to go ahead and write an editorial or an op-ed for the local newspaper, and so I did. And it was published about a month ago, and it got a lot of response. A lot of the big blogs around the, some of them Daily Coast, and some picked them up. But a lot of the Republicans are just like, you know, these hardcore Bush supporters. I mean, they're really upset if you suggest that they join the military.
Yeah.
That's where the term chicken hawk came from.
Right. Hey, Rob, do you have my email address? I'd love to see the piece you wrote.
Okay, I can't get to my email right now, but I'll email it to you this evening.
Whenever you can. Peter@peterbcollins.com.
Peter, okay, I want to jump in here and talk about torture for a second.
All right, go ahead there, Scott.
I'm sort of riffing off the last segment, but, you know, torture is important to soldiers, and because the Geneva Convention prohibited it, and we were, you know, pretty good about sticking up to it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite places in all the world is a little town in Germany where they have a quaint museum. It's called the Criminal Justice Museum. And they spend a lot of time talking about criminal justice through the ages. Torture was legal, and a judge who... torture could be inflicted according to the circumstances of the suspectfulness of the person. Less... severely or mildly at the discretion of a good, reasonable judge. Leading questions were not permitted, and a confession made under torture was valid only if repeated voluntarily outside the torture chamber. A judge who tortured unjustly could be called to account and punished by the authorities. This is from Article 61. Now, what ended all that? A new intellectual movement called the Enlightenment. And it was based, the actual beginning legal bans against torture started after a writer wrote something called the Disputatum, I'm going to mangle this Latin, Disputatio de Tortura in Foris Christianorum Proscribenda in 1705, and that started the bans on the use of torture in criminal proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going backward, Peter.
Yes, we certainly are, into the new Dark Ages.
And it concerns me.
Scott, thank you very much for your contributions today. We'll talk again real soon.
It's always a pleasure, Peter. Thanks.
Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you're on the line, I'd like to talk with you. We'll take your call after the top of the hour. The Free Speech Zone is next. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The House Ethics Committee heard today from a key figure in the Mark Foley email investigation.
This is Howard Arenstein in Washington. Followed out on the street by a gang of reporters, former Foley Chief of Staff Kirk Fordham would only say that his testimony under oath before the House Ethics Committee went well. His attorney, Tim Hafey, made only a brief statement in the Capitol hallway.
Kirk has been forthcoming with them. He has been consistent in his accounts of these events.
His account apparently was that he informed Republican leaders several years ago that Mark Foley was acting inappropriately with House pages. House leaders say that's not true. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
I'm Peter Mayer in Chicago. President Bush has a clear message to members of his own party who have complained about House Speaker Hastert's response to the House page scandal.
This country is better off with Denny Hastert as the Speaker, and it will be better off when he's the Speaker the next legislative session.
It was the president's strongest show of support for Hastert, who appeared with him for the first time since the scandal broke. While the controversy was not mentioned, the president's message to Republicans who have criticized Hastert was a clear, don't rock the boat. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Chicago.
Quick response from the Bush administration to the new British Army commander's comments on Iraq. In a newspaper interview, General Richard Dunant said the presence of British troops is only making things worse. They should get out soon. The White House says Iraq's leaders recognize our leaving before the job is done would leave them more vulnerable to terrorists. UN diplomats have been going back and forth all day, nailing down the fine points of a Security Council resolution on Korea. China and Russia want to take more time, but U.S. Ambassador John Bolton hopes for a vote tomorrow.
There's still very strong support in the Council, growing support to get a resolution, to get it wrapped up, to send a strong message, and to take operational steps because of the consequences of the attempted North Korean nuclear test.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has been looking into Corey Lytle's plane crash in New York yesterday.
Investigators still are gathering all the evidence, and they don't have any real definitive idea what went wrong, but there is an interesting clue. The radar track provides the speed of the aircraft. The last recorded ground speed of this plane was 112 miles per hour. Now, that's fast enough to fly, but what investigators are looking at is the possibility that when the Corey Lytle plane began to make a very steep turn back to the south, that unless they increased airspeed, they were very, very close to the stall speed.
A plane can stall with the engine still running. In fact, investigators say there's strong evidence the propeller was turning when the baseball star's Cirrus SR-20 slammed into a high-rise apartment building, killing him and his flight instructor. Big run-up on Wall Street today. The Dow Industrial's 95 points higher to close at a new record, 11,947. The Nasdaq gained 37 points. This is CBS News.
I'd like a real estate website where I can look at all the listings, not just those of a single company.
I'll know the right house when I see it, but it's frustrating having to go from website to website. I'm wearing out my mouse.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. REMAX listings and our competitors' listings, too. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When when you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
If an emergency comes along, most American big cities will not be able to evacuate quickly. A new study says 25 cities are less prepared than New Orleans was for Hurricane Katrina.
Might not be a surprise to folks that Los Angeles did the worst. It has legendary traffic jams on a daily basis.
Gary Cohen of the American Highway Users Alliance says New York and Chicago also fall into that category, but Kansas City gets high marks.
They're very fortunate in that they have they're just situated in a place where it's easy to get out from any direction. They have numerous high-capacity exit routes, moderate density, and high automobile ownership.
The Department of Homeland Security said months ago that most cities and states are unprepared for a major catastrophe. Authorities in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, have charged 42-year-old Larry Temple with stealing a backhoe from a construction site. He used it to flip over his girlfriend's car. Temple told police she'd been cheating on him. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss?
Exactly.
Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano? I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
And the Peter B. Collins Show launches the Free Speech Hour. We take your phone calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And sometime this hour, we're going to talk about Jay Leno and the way he features the Girly Mod.
Who can take California?
Who can take California?
Set it on its ear.
Set it on its ear.
Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man.
Yes, for our listeners in Oregon and Arizona, California has been governed for a while now by an Austrian-born action movie star named Arnold.
Put it all askew.
And as a Hollywood star, he's cozy with all the glitterati, and Jay Leno has featured him on The Tonight Show in the past. And he did so during the recall campaign when there were 130 individuals challenging Arnold Schwarzenegger for the governor's chair. And this year there's only one. And his name is Phil Angelides. He's a Democrat who's running behind in the polls. And so far, Jay Leno has not invited him to come on to The Tonight Show. And we're expecting a call, and we'll take it when it comes in, from Congressman Javier Becerra. He's a Democrat from Los Angeles, and he is trying to goad NBC into doing the right thing. So we'll see if that happens if we get the call, but you're welcome to comment on that or any other issues in the news. My lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I just got word he's going to join us in the next 10 minutes or so. So let's go to Pat in Pacific Grove. Hello, Pat. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Peter. You restore my faith in humanity.
Wow, that's a tall order.
I have a son named Peter.
And oh, that's
his
nice.
Middle initial is B.
Oh, cool.
He's a sculptor.
Oh, well, that's a talent.
Yeah, and I want an article. It's been about a month ago now that Scripps Howard poll shows 30% of Americans believe U.S. government assisted in the 9/11 attacks and took no action to stop it, so it could go to war. And I always believed it, but now, yesterday or day before, it's risen to 57%.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And still, those of us who ask the honest questions about what happened on 9/11, those of us who doubt the official stories we've been told are labeled conspiracy theories, theorists, and nuts.
Right. And nobody talks about it.
Well, we do on this program, and I take a little heat from some of my straight-laced friends who aren't willing to consider the alternative theories.
Yeah, I believed it from the beginning, and when it was, I was afraid to say it, you know.
I understand, yeah, because we end up being tossed into the loony bin.
Yeah.
And I'm not prepared to go there,
no.
But I am prepared to continue to question what we've been told and to demand that we be told the truth.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope I live long enough to somebody will say it out loud.
I want to see that too, Pat. You want to tell us how young you are?
I'm 90.
Oh, well, you're our senior of the day, and I want to thank you for listening, and thanks for your call.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
All right, Pat. That's really cool. Now to James in Phoenix. Hello, James. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good, thanks.
A couple of topics I'd like to get your opinion on, and I'll just, once I state them, I'll just take your comments off the air.
All right, go ahead.
First one is, what do you think the fallout's going to be from that Harry Reid getting that $1.1 million from that real estate deal, if anything?
Yeah. Okay.
Two, how come you don't think the Christian right has been up in arms about Bush not coming out more strongly against that Mark Foley? And also, how come, you know, progressives haven't come out stronger since Bush signed that bill about allowing people on the no-fly list to get on planes easier?
Okay. All right.
If you can give me those, give me your opinion on those, I'd like to hear it.
Fly. Okay, I wrote them down here. I'm going to do my best. Thank you for the call, James. First up, on the Harry Reid deal, it is potentially problematic. Harry Reid's explanation is that he had a piece of property. He transferred it into a corporation or a partnership or a limited liability company, and that he failed to make appropriate disclosures of that move, and that this piece of property that he sold for a $700,000 profit is still listed under his sole ownership, even though he transferred it into this partnership or corporation that he did not entirely own. I'll wait and see what actually sifts out of this. Harry Reid is saying it's a minor paperwork issue, a technical oversight. But that's all it takes to get Republican operators fired up, so we'll see where that goes. As far as the Christian right and the Foley case, I think it's been difficult for them because of their loyalties to the Republican Party and the Bush administration, and also just their general fear of homosexuality. And I think that it is a difficult issue for them, but clearly they should take a strong moral stand about telling the truth about these issues, just as they have in bashing gay people and also in falsely presenting the idea that somebody who exhibits predatory behavior like Congressman Foley is a common homosexual. Most gay people are not predatory in any way, shape, or form, particularly in the direction of heterosexuals, and that's a common fear among uninformed straight people. To your third point about progressives and the no-fly list, I did see the 60 Minutes episode about people named Robert Johnson who have been unfairly detained and kept off of airplanes because there is an actual terror suspect, apparently, with that name. And in my view, everybody should be up in arms about the whole aviation security system, because this whole boondoggle over the liquids and the alleged liquid explosives has punished the entire American flying public, and I don't believe that it has enhanced our security in any way, shape, or form. Now we go to Mike in Gilbert, Arizona. Hello, Mike. Thanks for your call.
Hi, good afternoon, Peter. I've been listening off and on to your program the last few hours, and the tie-in between the legal scholar you had last hour and, oh, I'm sorry, the hour before, and just recently the military veteran,
mm-hmm.
kind of reminded me of a story I'm not getting a whole lot of coverage on, and that is Lieutenant Commander Charles Swift.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you mean Suzanne Swift?
No, actually, Charles Swift, I believe.
Okay. Tell me about Charles. I know about Suzanne.
Okay. I believe it was Charles. At least that's the way that I read it. he was the Navy JAG who took the Hamdan case up in the Supreme Court.
Oh, yes, and he has been either demoted or...
Fired.
Yeah, he was fired.
He was passed over for promotion, which is the equivalent of you're out of here.
Right, yeah.
By the Navy, and that decision was made only 2 weeks after the Hamdan decision came out of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
He was informed of it within weeks.
Yeah.
He's retiring just within the next few days.
To your knowledge, has he made any public comments? In other words, if we found him, could we get him to talk?
By the way,
we would try to get him to talk without torture.
Okay. He would actually be relieved to hear that. I know that he's been interviewed. I saw it in AP. I saw an editorial in the New York Times briefly. But the conversations with him, the interviews, were mostly only published in the British newspapers.
Hmm.
So you can take that as far as it will. However, he and another JAG were interviewed extensively back in 2003, I believe, on the entire process of what they were trying to accomplish with the detainees in Guantanamo Bay. So historically, he has not been entirely reticent to speak to anyone, though I imagine he won't be very open and forthcoming until his retirement is finalized and he collects his first retirement check.
Well, I appreciate you bringing this forward. I didn't really recognize his name at first, but I did read the news item about his failure to be promoted. Essentially, he's been sacked, and this is a not-so-subtle message, kind of like the one they sent to Joe Wilson. And I will follow up on it, and we'll see if we can find routes to reach Charles Swift and invite him onto the program to tell us in a first-person way what has happened.
Maybe you can arrange to have Suzanne Swift there also, and you guys can get it all straightened out.
Yes, Suzanne Swift is a woman who has been put up on court-martial charges for failure to report, and she publicly announced that she could not report because she had been subject to command rape when she was serving in Iraq on a previous tour. And when she was ordered to return to Iraq, she declined to do so because she didn't want to put herself back in a compromising position. And to date, the military, from what I can tell, has treated her as an ordinary deserter. So that's a case that we've been following, and we will keep tabs on both Swifts, and I'm really glad you brought that up.
Okay, take care.
All right, nice to hear from you in Gilbert, Arizona today. Lines available if you'd like to join the conversation here. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got two toll-free lines, so you can call 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. A quick break, and we'll return with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Pam Sam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
And taking a look at the traffic, let's talk a little about Santa Cruz Bonnie and Dune Road at Pine Flat. Injury crash, a vehicle hit a pedestrian. Fire department emergency crews all on scene. Traffic a little bit congested in the area as well. Aptos, State Park Drive at Searidge, they have an injury crash. Two vehicles blocking the roadway. CHP is there. Fire department also there as well. Capitola, southbound Highway 1 at 41st. Disabled, it looks like a stalled utility truck blocking the left lane there. And in Castro, Merritt at Sanchez, heads up for an injury crash. Two vehicles reportedly blocked lanes. Again, paramedics, fire department, CHP all on scene. This report brought to you by the Ultimate Fighting Championship on pay-per-view. Watch UFC 64 live this Saturday on pay-per-view. Champion Rich Franklin defends against Anderson Silva, plus a new lightweight champion will be crowned. Use your remote Saturday to order UFC 64. I'm Mike in traffic, KRXA 5.
Alan Show continues as we ask the question, is Jay Leno being a girly mom?
Who can take California? Set it on its ear. Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
The girly man can.
So last night, Jay Leno invited Arnold Schwarzenegger, the sitting governor of California and a candidate for election this November. I would say re-election, but he never served a full term. He came in on the tail end of Gray Davis's failure after the recall. And this is the second time that Leno has featured Schwarzenegger as a candidate on The Tonight Show. And the Angelides team, Phil Angelides, who's the Democratic nominee for governor, they're crying foul. And to join us to update us on this is Congressman Javier Becerra, Democrat from Los Angeles. He fired off a letter to the Republican chair of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, pointing out the problem that NBC has on its hands. Congressman, thanks for joining us today.
Peter, thanks for having me.
Now, tell me what your sense of the issues are here, because it seems clear to me that Phil Angelides has a very clear claim to equal time.
Peter, you called it. It's that simple, that straightforward, that sensible. You've got a doctrine that says equal time. If you're going to get a politician or a candidate for public office to get on the air and get free, very valuable free airtime, then you've got to extend that same opportunity to all the other candidates for that same office. There's not a lot you can read into it, and unfortunately, I guess NBC and the Jay Leno Show and Governor Schwarzenegger were not willing to abide by those particular rules.
Now, Congressman, there was a headache problem back in 2003 because there were 134 people on the ballot. And so when Schwarzenegger was invited on The Tonight Show, it did create a problem in terms of giving every one of those people the same amount of time that Schwarzenegger received. That's not the case this year. There's simply one candidate. He is the bona fide Democratic nominee for governor. And it seems that NBC is not playing by the rules.
I would say that they're not playing by the rules either. In fact, I'd say they're playing with the rules. And that's the unfortunate part about this, is to see in California what I think too many folks in the nation have seen occur in Washington, D.C., and that's this whole issue of tinkering with the law, playing at the edges, bordering on corruption, and now to see in California that we're willing to, again, be cute with the law, I think it rubs people the wrong way.
Now, is there a technical issue that NBC is standing on here? Because I've been in this broadcasting business for too long, and I know what the rules are. And the rules actually don't apply to networks. They apply to the individual stations that broadcast The Tonight Show. But for Phil Angelides to demand equal time from every NBC affiliate in California is not only impractical for him, but it's impractical for the stations. They're not going to cut into The Tonight Show tonight and say, here's the 11 minutes that we owe Phil Angelides.
Right. Well, that's why I think NBC has an obligation to the public as a licensee. Remember, we grant licenses, the public grants licenses to all broadcasters to use the airwaves. We own the airwaves as a people, and the broadcasters only use them as a result of our generosity in granting them a license. And so NBC as a network certainly could say to all its affiliates that might broadcast the Jay Leno show, you know, you're then under an obligation to make the same time available to all other candidates for that same office. It wouldn't be rocket science. It wouldn't be that difficult. NBC had an easier choice of just saying, well, we're not going to get ourselves in this political limbo and have Schwarzenegger come on, and they could have just taken care of it that way. But had they when they decided to go forward with the governor, they should have made Treasurer Phil Angelides an offer to come on the show as well.
Has there been a response from NBC or the FCC?
I've had communication directly with Chairman Martin of the Federal Communications Commission, and we're in conversation with them on their response. They will be issuing some response, hopefully sooner than later. NBC has not responded. I did notify NBC that I would be submitting this complaint to the FCC. I would have thought they would have handled this in a much more direct way. I'm saddened that they haven't, because either we end up with an equal time doctrine that is toothless, or we continue to see politics play itself out, not just in Washington, D.C., but now here in California as well.
Well, Congressman, I thank you for taking this on, and I appreciate you being on the show today. Can I ask you one unrelated question? It's kind of related to Republican power grabs.
Sure.
Brian Bilbray was named the winner of the special election to replace Duke Cunningham in Southern California, and the Republicans swore him in before the election was certified. Then there was a challenge to the election, and the Superior Court judge ruled that he had no authority because Bilbray has been sworn in, and therefore the underlying election is now moot. Do you have any concerns about that, and do you think it might be replicated as the desperate Republicans try to hang on to their majorities just 3.5 weeks from now?
Well, again, it's one of those signs of the abuse that's occurred in the halls of Congress that makes people really have the hair on their neck rise, because once the House acts, once Congress acts, it does render moot any actions by the court, because we, under the Constitution in Congress, determine who can be seated. And so it is an abuse to move forward when there is someone contesting an election. But it's par for the course in what's gone on for the last several years in this Congress, where not only do we not do our obligation to do oversight over how the government is functioning and misfunctioning, but we also don't do anything to prevent an abusive grab of power politically simply because the Constitution granted the Congress that opportunity.
Well, and I know Nancy Pelosi well enough that I don't believe that a Speaker Pelosi would permit that kind of fast and loose interpretation of the House rules.
I think you're going to see a lot more sunshine coming down on Congress after these elections are over with. And certainly if we have Speaker Nancy Pelosi, that will be the case. I think we've seen what happens when you get too much power vested in just a few hands, and when people see how they can take advantage of that power. I think Democrats are going to try to move forward, give as much transparency to the operation of government as we can, and then let the people decide if we're doing a good job.
Well, Congressman, thank you for your work. You're coasting to re-election, right?
I'm working hard. Whether I coast or not, it's always hard work, because you can't take anything for granted, and there's a lot of good colleagues that we're trying to help make sure they get elected as well.
And are you optimistic? Do you think Democrats will control the House on November 8th?
With the work that we're doing, and I believe the public's recognition of what's gone on in Washington, D.C., I think that chemistry will make it possible for Democrats to take over the House, maybe even the Senate, and perhaps then really start doing some work for the people in this nation.
And is Mark Foley the first and final October surprise, or?
You know, I've learned after several years in elected office that you never say that's the last surprise until the fat lady sings.
Thank you, Congressman.
Thanks very much, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. Javier Becerra, Democrat from Los Angeles. We'll return to your calls in the Free Speech Zone next at 888-5-PETER-B. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. My website, peterbcollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or a full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Down in Monterey.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We are taking your phone calls in what we call the free speech zone. You can call with a comment on any subject from any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-5-PETER-B is our nationwide toll-free number. And if you're listening online in St. Louis or Chicago or anywhere else, you can join in. 888-573-8372. And I kind of feel it in my bones. I feel a panic attack coming on sometime soon. Be prepared for that. Joining us next is Emily from Santa Cruz. Hello, Emily.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay today, considering.
Considering. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, today a bunch of organizations and individuals whose names you will recognize, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Barbara Boxer, John Kerry, Bob Fitrakis, Brad Friedman, and more, Mark Crispin Miller, sent out a letter to all 50 governors, secretaries of state, and election directors calling upon them to provide emergency paper ballots in all voting, in all polling places in November. This is a follow-up on the effort that, Brad started at BradBlog that turned into the Confidence in Voting Act of 2006 that was introduced in Congress by Barbara Boxer and
Russ Holt.
Russ Holt in on the House side.
Correct.
And so now this effort is going to the states, and it's a little bit different. Basically, we're not, there's not a specific resolution that we're calling for them because there isn't time to have it go through the legislative process. It
right.
will need to be handled in an emergency way.
So this is an appeal for mercy.
Sure, there you go. It's an appeal for common sense, really.
I agree. But you can imagine when, say, Secretary of State in Ohio, J. Kenneth Blackwell, candidate for governor, receives this, he's going to say, sure.
Yeah, it was fun addressing the letter to him, I have to say.
Oh, you well, good for you.
Yeah. And Progressive Democrats for America is actually launching an email campaign for people to email their individual states about this, because this is a letter that went out. It's the same letter that went out to all the states, and it really needs to be tweaked a little bit for the situation in each state.
Mm-hmm.
There will be a link up on BradBlog to the Progressive Democrats of America campaign in, within just a few minutes.
Great. And his Bradness will be with us tomorrow at this time, Brad Friedman, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's usually with us every Friday between 5 and 6.
Yep, and I'm sure he will have plenty of things to talk about, and this will be one. The letters won't have been received yet, but there's a press release going out on it today, and the emails will start pouring in, hopefully by tomorrow, to offices in state governments all around the country.
Well, Emily, I really appreciate you bringing us up to date, and thank you for your own effort in addressing those envelopes and mailing them out.
Thanks very much.
All right. Very good. That's Emily Levy in Santa Cruz. Levy?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Thanks very much.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a panic attack. Tommy Panic is the Peter B. Collins Show in-depth, low-budget, undercover, investigative reporter, and he joins us this evening from Washington, D.C., where he has been investigating the Triple D, that is the Department of Deception and Distraction. Tommy, what's up?
Yeah, actually, it's panique, not panic. Panique. But, yeah, Peter, I'm actually breaking away from a social gathering this Thursday evening in our nation's capital. I've actually made friends with and will continue. There's a story here. Former Miss Washington, D.C., that used to hang out quite a bit with Mark Foley.
Oh, really?
Mark Foley hung out with beautiful women. Any guy that's hanging out with beautiful women because they have fabulous shoes, you know, is gay. There's nothing wrong with that, but it seems it's a stereotype that more times than not rings true. But I'm going to be out in Surprise, Arizona later next week, meeting another woman that he used to hang out with. That's kind of the land of a million houses for sale at this point in time. But anyway, that's another story. I'm a story breaking machine is what I am.
Really?
I came to D.C. to try to infiltrate the pages and see what was going on there. But
aren't you a little old for that?
That's kind of what it came down to. And I do still have some boyish good looks, but when you look in my eyes, And you feel the magnetism. It's not even it's almost not even human.
I see.
It's animal. It's like a Wolverine.
Uh huh.
So it didn't work. So got a little bit sidetracked, and I basically I got inside the DDD. I got inside. I got a guy on the inside.
Now, how did you do that? Was there like a passcode, or did you need a one of those electronic keys that works the minibar in a hotel?
I just befriended some guy that was smoking out in front.
Uh-huh.
Simple as that. There you go. I got a source. We'll call him Felipe.
Okay.
That's not his real name, though.
All right.
But anyway, I mean, for people who don't know, the Department of Deception and Distraction, the story that I unearthed on your show.
Yes, you did.
Last time, the plot to control the masses. And basically, I mean, it was Karl Marx said the religion is opiate, the opiate of the masses.
That's right.
I don't think he actually said something a little bit different, but for the sake of keeping it short here, I mean, the DDD is tapped into this nation's religion. You know what that is, don't you?
Well, it's Christian, isn't it?
Well, no, it's celebrity.
Oh.
Celebrity. Society obsessed with celebrity. And the DDD basically manipulates this phenomenon. They employ or they control celebrities. They even create a lot of the tabloid stories.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, so, a lot of them are willing participants, don't get me wrong, but the others have been hypnotized. OJ, hypnotized. John Mark Carr, payroll.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson, hypnotized.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. T, starting his own reality show on the payroll.
I pity the fool.
Yeah. Terrell Owens, that football player who went from suicidal to releasing a children's book in the course of a week. You'd think he'd be hypnotized, but no, he's on the payroll.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Mark Foley. Mark Foley working for the DDD. We mentioned him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Taking one for the team. He goes down, if you know what I mean, in hopes of his party surviving next month. And sex scandal is a little bit better than Iraq and just other aspects of the crumbling democracy. But here's the real story. You
All
want
right.
the story?
I want the real story, and I want it now.
Here it is. I've found the documentation, and I guess they didn't have paper shredders back then, but the document that tells the story of how this thing got its start back in the 80s.
Tell me.
Yeah, I mean, it's back when the Democrats had balls and Republicans didn't align their platforms with the invisible man in the sky or bang the pages. Well, actually, they did that back then. But the Department of Deception and Distraction started under the first President Bush. Number 41.
I didn't know that.
No, neither did I. And neither did anyone. We're breaking the story here. And, I mean, even Bush had no clue that one day it would be used to bail out his F-up son. He didn't know. And it's funny how you notice how no one really minds the former president now. It's funny how that works. You can be lame, but if your offspring are lamer, you don't look so bad.
And they'll name a ship after you.
It's true. I mean, lame people have lamer kids. Uday Hussein was such a monster, all of a sudden Saddam, he's only raping women on Tuesday and killing people on Thursday. Not that bad. It's really not that bad. But the history is important, but I also found some really odd stuff.
Okay.
Weird stuff. I mean, this is weird. I found an entire room in the DDD full of testicles formerly belonging to Democrats. And, I mean, I'm talking a gruesome sight. I wanted to free them, but I would have blown everything. Also found an appendage room.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of stuff that you couldn't even identify, but Max Cleland's arm was in there.
Oh.
The arm of the drummer from Def Leppard was in there. The leg of Paul McCartney's former wife.
Oh.
And actually, at this point, he'd probably like to see her head in there. But the DDD's job is to make sure nobody talks about the fact that, oh, I don't know, Congress just gave the president the legal authority to torture people.
Right.
I mean, what, all these people who, like, wrote books and wound up on the no-fly list, where do they go now?
Well, and is it possible to actually torture Denny Hastert until he coughs up the truth about this scandal?
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. But I mean, Iraq getting worse by the day, and NSA collecting all sorts of data, all sorts of people that used to live in New Orleans remain just kind of homeless. But hey, what's up with Lindsay Lohan?
I don't
know where we're at. But, you know, I really need to get back to this gathering,
okay.
Peter. It's been a pleasure, as always.
And we'll let that
I will have more down the road.
Thank you, Tommy Panic. We'll let the Lindsay Lohan question just dangle there because I don't have any clue about Lindsay Lohan. That's Tommy Panic's report, believe it or don't. We've got John now in Arizona. Hello, John. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, you know, the lady from just real quick from Santa Cruz, they want paper ballots, but we can't have people show IDs at the polls. That's really interesting.
Well, what is your question about that?
Well, why? What's wrong with having somebody, if they're worried about voter fraud, why would you not want someone's ID when they show up to vote?
Well, because there's no indication of any significant illegal activity by voters themselves. The real issue is the integrity of the election system, the way the votes are counted and tabulated. That's the issue here. And the photo ID, and if you're talking about just identifying who you are when you go into the polling place, I don't have a problem with that. But the requirement for a photo ID has been ruled unconstitutional in Missouri and in Georgia. Okay? And those are hardly liberal states. And the reason is that it creates an unnecessary barrier to voting participation.
That's silly.
Can you say that, but it's not.
One judicial finding that voter machines, Diebold or anything like that, have been found to be faulty.
Well, you called for a judicial finding.
Anywhere. Well, that's what we do in America. Until there's a judicial finding of something, it's just allegations and speculations up till then.
Well, you may say that, and you can believe that, but at Princeton University, they conducted a series of tests on Diebold machines, and this is not the first time that it's been established that they can be easily hacked, and that you can put a malicious code into one of those machines that can be spread to the machines in the entire voting district, whether it's a county or a municipality or however that is set up.
Well, you can take paper ballots and commit fraud with those too. You can do that.
Yes, you
can. I'm asking you to show me where it's been proven that it happened.
Well, I don't believe.
Okay, I guess your silence is the answer. It hasn't. But yeah.
Excuse me. Hey, wait a minute. The matter that I pause to think about something does not mean that I don't have an answer. And I don't know where you got the job of being the prosecutor and the judge and jury here, my man.
No, I'm just helping you out by moving you along. There isn't. I don't ask questions where I don't know the answer already. I do have another question for you.
Well, let me complete my thought here, and then I'll take your other question.
All right.
The issue here is that the Help America Vote Act requires jurisdictions to convert to electronic voting machines. And there are really substantial questions about the functionality of the machines, the integrity of them, and the protocols and processes used to implement them in individual districts.
Okay, here's my question back to you.
Shut up. The issue here is...
Typical liberal.
Oh, really? When you interrupt me...
I just asked you a question. We're having a discussion here.
I want to finish my thought, John, and you're being obnoxious. And you're pretending that you're in control, and maybe you
absolutely not.
Maybe you ought to get your own talk show.
I'm trying to have a dialogue with you.
But you're not responding to the points I'm making.
Here's my response. All of these studies that are done by all these people that are supposedly right down the middle, can you find any of them where they found Democrats cheating in any of these jurisdictions? How come every single study shows Republican slants?
I'm going to let your question dangle there, John, because that's the whole reason that people are suspicious about these machines. We have yet to find one of these tainted elections where votes were flipped to Democrats. And that fuels the suspicions that many people have, and that's why paper ballots are a reasonable way to stave off the uncertainty of the use of these machines, because they can be hacked, they can be manipulated. Thank you for your call. We'll take more of your calls in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. It's 13 minutes before the hour, and this is the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey. Automobile enthusiasts know that the world's finest vehicles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include our Mercedes, BMW, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the very automobiles that we specialize in at More Imported Cars, located at 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, right by Windows on the Bay. Stop by More Imported Cars and check out this week's special.
A 1985 Porsche 911 SC Coupe, burgundy with cream beige interior. This Southern California car has been enthusiastically owned for the last 12 years and comes with a 3-month warranty.
The price for this week only is reduced from $24,900 to $21,900.
For more information, browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R. Or call us at 373-3131. That's 373-3131.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Good afternoon. Taking a look at a problem in Gonzales, Gloria Road, south of Johnson Canyon. It's a solo crash there, one off the roadway, and colliding with a fence, CHP on scene. Santa Cruz activity on Bonnie Dune Road, at Pine Flat, injury crash, vehicle hit a pedestrian, and emergency crews remain on scene there in Aptos. State Park Drive at Sea Ridge, getting word of a crash there. Two vehicles with injuries, CHP also on scene there. Let's take a look at Capitola, southbound one at 31st. Stalled utility truck blocking the left lane. And a Castroville Marriott Street at Sanchez. Injury crash, two vehicles reportedly blocking lanes, and paramedics and fire department now on scene. A support brought to you by Mattress Discounters. Now during Mattress Discounters Pillow Top Sale, you'll save up to $400 on Sealy Posturepedic Pillow Top, plus sleep for free on approved credit. Mattress Discounters, have a good night's sleep for less. I'm Mike McDowell with traffic on the KXRA 540.
Ten minutes before the hour, we're in the home stretch here of the Peter B. Collins Show today. And I'm glad you're listening wherever you happen to be tuned in. Next, we go to Sheldon in Scottsdale. Hello, Sheldon. You're on the PBC show.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, we're just talking to people.
It's just amazing. The unbelievable attitude these people have.
Look, yeah.
This isn't about Democrat or Republican. This is about your vote counting. I could care less. You know, I want Republicans to count too, just as well. I'm an independent.
Mm-hmm.
But I want everybody's vote to count.
Wait. Are you advancing the radical proposition that you want elections to be accurate and credible?
Yes.
And to kind of reflect the will of the peoples?
Exactly.
Oh, well,
I know that's far. That's
let me refer you to the Ukraine. Because there, when the exit polls are way out of sync with the published results, they rerun the election.
Exactly. You know what? Here's what I did in Phoenix. I took, have you ever seen this? Anybody go to Google Video and download, it's called Voter Hanky Panky. Just put in Voter Hanky Panky when you look for videos.
All right.
And download that video. It's free. And it's by Loose Change in Company, kind of like something like that. But it's unbelievable. It shows you the fraud on how they do it. It's just, you'll never know. That's the thing. These people that deal with computers, you'll never know. And to put our voting into a computer is absolutely ridiculous. They break into the Pentagon's nuclear site. I mean, give me a break. You don't think they can hack into a little Diebold computer?
They have created
on the internet.
They have created the circumstance for the perfect heist, and I believe they've already pulled it off more than once.
I believe it too. Here's what I did, and everybody could do this: download that video, burn it to a DVD, and take it down to your Secretary of State, just like I did. And I gave them to everybody there, and threw them to everybody because they wouldn't take them because they said we can't accept gifts. So I just threw all these DVDs all over the place because I knew they'd have to pick them up.
Right.
And let those people look at it, because once the people in the offices find out, hey, this is fishy.
Yeah.
And they're not being told the rhetoric, Oh, there's nothing wrong with these. There's nothing wrong.
All right, Sheldon, ridiculous. I got a full board here. Thanks a lot for your call. Right, now to Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, hey, Peter. I was wondering, a couple topics back, you were talking about equal time. And
right.
I think that's the same thing as the fairness doctrine, yes?
Nope. They're separate clauses. The Fairness Doctrine was repealed in the 1980s. The equal time provision is still embedded in the 1934 Communications Act, and it only applies to political campaigns and candidates during a prescribed political season. And we are now in that season. For example, if Jay Leno had had Arnold Schwarzenegger on in August, it's not in the political window, as it's called, and the equal time requirement would not be triggered. But under these circumstances, we are, you know, 3.5 weeks from the election day. We're well inside the window, and Angelides has a very firm claim to equal time.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You bet.
Yeah.
And that's Dave Berman, and Dave is one of the people who has organized the event next week. I just want to mention I will be in Blue Lake at the Del Arte School of Performing Arts. We're going to broadcast live from there 3 to 6 p.m. next Wednesday. That's October 18th. And then we're going to take a break and convene for a media roundtable. And if you can make one or both of those events and you're listening to KGOE, we'd love to see you there. Dave, thanks for facilitating all that, and I'm looking forward to meeting all you folks.
Right on, Peter.
Okay, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Now to Carol in Chandler, Arizona. Thanks for holding, Carol. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Gosh, those people are so hard to talk to. They just don't listen.
Well, he didn't want to listen. He was he sounded like a very effective trial lawyer who knows how to really goad somebody, you know, in an interrogation or a deposition situation. And it was interesting how he tried to take over control of the program. I'm a pretty nice guy, but I do have my limits.
actually, what I wanted to ask you was, Mark Foley enters a rehab clinic. Who pays for that? Is that under his insurance? Is that a workman's comp claim? Doesn't he have to prove that he has a problem while he's there to be eligible to even be in that place?
Well, there are a number of issues, and they've actually been written about a little bit since he allegedly went into rehab. We don't actually have proof because they haven't told us where he is.
Right.
But assuming he did what he has said he has done, he is covered under the same coverage for House and Senate members, which is very much gold card health insurance that gives them access to both the federal system and, I believe, to private purveyors and providers. The question that's open is whether the rehab clinic really examined him to see if he was appropriate for rehabilitation, because many people have raised questions about his self-professed alcoholism, as they never saw him with a drink.
Exactly.
So that is an interesting question, and perhaps we'll know more about it when he emerges from rehab, if in fact that's where he is. But I don't know the specifics of, you know, what a rehabilitation center requires for a candidate. I remember from old AA expressions or terminology or standards that one is supposed to hit bottom before you're actually capable of recovery. And it's not clear to me that Mark Foley hit bottom, but, you know, again, I'm not in a position to evaluate that.
Right, but he hasn't hit bottom, but many of our vets have hit bottom.
Oh, yeah.
They're not providing them anything. And my son's over in Iraq with no ammunition. They go out on patrol, and they have empty sidearms, and they have one clip, and when they get back, they give their ammunition to the next patrol going out.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
they don't have bullets?
They don't have bullets. They do not have bullets, and it's one of those deals where one patrol goes out, and when they get back, if they have any ammo left, they give it to the next patrol that goes out.
Can you tell us what uniform your son wears?
My son is in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He is under the command of the Marines now because the sailors are backfilling on the Marines down at the port in Iraq.
Right.
And they're doing a master at arms job.
Can you do me a favor?
Could
you email me this information? Because I'd like to pass it along to Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues, and ask him to investigate that. I'm glad you told me about it, but this is the first I've heard that patrols don't have ammo. I mean,
no,
that's suicide.
It is. It is. And I'll tell you, these kids that get back, they five of them met 20 Iraqis loaded up with the RPGs, and all they had were machetes, knives, and one clip in their M16s.
Wow.
And this is so wrong. And I, if I hadn't been working, I would have called earlier to talk to Scott. But I'm worried to death about them over there.
Well, I certainly share that concern. I'm out of time, but I thank you for calling and holding on the line to tell us that.
All right, and I will email you.
Okay, I appreciate that. Peter at peterbcollins.com will put you through to me.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening today. We didn't get to all your calls, and I apologize, but we'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same stations.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The new commander of the British Army says the presence of his country's troops in Iraq exacerbates the security problems. General Richard Dana told the Daily Mail newspaper they should get out sometime soon. Quite a statement, says retired U.S. Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, a CBS News military consultant.
General Danit is the chief of defense staff as well as being head of the Army. So he is the equivalent of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in Great Britain and obviously would be the principal military advisor to the prime minister. So for a serving officer in his position to so clearly challenge the British policy in a public way is really unprecedented.
In the same interview, Danit said Prime Minister Tony Blair's Iraq policies are naive.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. Disputing the assertions of the British general, a spokeswoman says the U.S. and its allies are still in Iraq at the behest of its democratically elected leaders, who she says have asked for reassurance that the coalition will stay and help them gain control of the security situation there.
High-level contacts around the world as the U.N. Security Council moves toward a vote on sanctions for North Korea. A senior Chinese envoy met with President Bush at the White House today. Another Chinese diplomat has gone to Moscow. Russia's deputy foreign minister is visiting North Korea's neighbors, and there are reports that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will visit Tokyo and Seoul, South Korea next week. By then, the Bush administration hopes to have sanctions in place. When did Republican leaders in Congress know about Mark Foley's misconduct? Kirk Fordham, once Foley's chief of staff, claims he alerted Speaker Dennis Hastert's office 3 or 4 years ago. He testified today behind closed doors to members of the House Ethics Committee. Fordham's lawyer, Timothy Hafey, talked to reporters afterward.
Kirk has been forthcoming with them. He has been consistent in his accounts of these events when he's met with the FBI, when he's today met with the Ethics Committee.
Tomorrow, the panel hears from Illinois Republican John Shimkus, the congressman in charge of the PAGE program. Shimkus says he confronted Foley last fall about inappropriate emails to a former PAGE. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports Gerald Ford is hospitalized again in Rancho Mirage, California.
When you are 93 and a former president, anything involving your health is going to receive a great deal of attention. We are being given very few details right now. We know that Mr. Ford is at the Eisenhower Medical Center, which is near his home. We have been told that he's under